Carrboro Board of Aldermen public hearing. Before we begin, I just wanted to make a couple of really brief announcements and remind folks, as we've discussed a couple of times recently, that we're in a mode where extreme water conservation ought to be the rule. And, you know, it is, I think it's mostly self-evident who it is out there that is still watering their lawns. And, you know, your grass will grow back, people. We need to let it go for now. And then also, I would just like to mention three meetings that are happening this week real rapidly, all in connection with one another. A program called Peer Connections, which is a program for people with developmental disabilities in order to help them focus on health and wellness and physical fitness. There will be a meeting for about this topic for parents of people with developmental disabilities Wednesday evening and Friday morning of this week, Wednesday evening at 6:30, or alternatively Friday morning at 9:30 a.m., both of them, one at the fire department and the other here at Town Hall, and then also for the participants, for the people with developmental disabilities who are interested in participating in the program, there'll be a meeting Thursday night at 5 o'clock here in Carrboro Town Hall. So we invite people to join in with that. And then finally, this Sunday, starting at what time?
Noon.
Starting at noon, this Sunday will be the Carrboro Music Festival. And there's a zillion different venues that will be participating and acts that will be performing. So please come to downtown Carrboro to participate in the Carrboro Music Festival. Leave your car at home, if at all possible.
And have no place to put it.
Come on the bus or walk or ride your bike or any way you can. But please come downtown and try to carpool if you have to drive.
And just as a note, believe it or don't, this is the 10th annual Carrboro Music Festival.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Same. So thanks to Jerry Williams and the staff and the gang who've been doing it since the very get-go.
Actually, even though the official festival starts at 12 on Sunday, there is a kickoff Saturday night starting at 8 at the Cradle with three different bands. I think they're asking a $5 donation, but that's kind of the kickoff. I probably won't be there, but
people younger than me may be interested.
People younger than Jack, you may be interested in going 8 o'clock at the Guest Cradle on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Okay. Now on to our main agenda for tonight, the continuation of the public hearing on conditional use permit for a proposed development at 405 Jones Ferry Road. Mr. Manager.
Okay. We do have a very brief staff presentation to follow up from last week, and then I believe the applicant has a presentation to follow up on the items that the board raised questions about last week. So if I could ask James Thomas to come forward.
Keep my presentation pretty brief to you guys tonight. I'm just going to kind of highlight the abstract that was included in your agenda packet. What I'm showing here, and this was once again included in your agenda packet, this is the from the actual applicant showing a revision to the actual location, the Barn Street entrance exit. Obviously, as you can see, it's been moved closer to the Jones Ferry intersection. And you probably, what was forwarded to you earlier this week was a petition along with a revised site plan that was also, what we did, our staff did, was we took the initiative to contact DOT in regards to this. And like I said, you guys can see from the revision, they were proposing a an entrance exit closer to the intersection of Barnes and Jones Ferry, and DOT's response to this was it would not meet their qualifications, and most likely, or they would not be issuing a driveway permit for that intersection. Additionally,
Not this one, but for the one that we received a petition about.
Right. And additionally, it should be noted that this does not meet qualifications of the actual land use ordinance.
James, let's be clear. The one that you're showing does.
Right.
One
this one
generated
does.
by the
right.
neighborhood. That
correct.
Does not.
Let me just make that clear.
When you go by the neighborhood, it was the one with the two driveways facing Jones Ferry.
That's
Drive.
Correct. Basically, what it did was it came, the actual proposed new entrance came up here, and that's what was run by DOT, and they stated they would not approve a driveway entrance so close to the intersection of Barnes. Also, you guys were forwarded by email responses to the recommendations from the applicant. As you can see, they basically agreed to do just about all of them. I will allow the applicant to, to kind of expand on this if you choose to. But if you guys have any questions of me, I'll try to answer them.
I'll just point out we have 8 people just signed up to speak on this side.
So. Okay. It's brief. Okay. How much closer is the one approved by DOT than the original plan that we saw last week for the driveway on Barn Street?
Say that again.
How much closer is this driveway to Jones Ferry than the driveway that was shown to us last week?
It's approximately from here to here, the distance is 350 feet. So it's been moved, I would guess, about 150 feet. And as you can see, this is, before the property actually, the proposed entrance exit came out roughly in this area in front of these two existing dwellings. It's been moved, obviously, farther north.
Right. And what's that dwelling right there? Is that the Wilkerson's?
No, yeah. Wilkerson's is okay. Right here. This is a single-family dwelling.
Okay.
And it's just a single-family dwelling.
How's that parcel zoned?
A portion of this parcel is actually zoned M1. And the applicant may want to expand on that because on the situation with this property.
This piece?
Wait,
I'm not.
This one right here?
I thought that's all R75 is M1 just north of that.
Okay. I thought the rear portion was. It's a rear portion is.
Speak a little louder, James, so everyone else can hear.
I'm sorry.
Let me clarify. No, that entire piece is R75.
Okay.
That is zoned residential. Okay.
Right. I stand corrected. This is all R7.5.
Okay. Thanks. Are there some other questions for the staff right now, or shall we turn to the folks who signed up? Or, excuse me, does the applicant want to make any kind of presentation, and then we'll
Good evening. I'm George Richley with Ballantyne Associates. I don't have a whole lot to add other than this lot we understand was recently purchased by the Wilkinson ownership. If there are any specific recommendations or responses, our responses to those recommendations that you'd like to discuss, we're here for question and answer.
Okay. Then I'll turn to the sign-up list here, Elizabeth Carter is the first person signed up. Can you just come up to that podium right there, please? That is to say, the Honorable Elizabeth Carter.
Elizabeth Carter.
Oh. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give is the truth to the best of your knowledge?
To the best of my knowledge and my words. Thank you.
Good evening. And sorry to be coming in at this at such a getting on at the tail of this, but would have not known that this process was in so far along had it not been for one of the persons that's seeking one of the seats that's up for the elections. I come to talk to recognizing that the properties that we're mentioning is currently commercial property, that it's zoned for commercial development. Unless my neighborhood or some other neighborhood had known early enough, we perhaps could have petitioned to have it zoned differently. Being that that did not occur, I'd like to talk this evening about the impact of that commercial property on Bond Street, King Street, Queen Street, and Prince Street. There currently are no sidewalks. There are no place for kids to play. This neighborhood had recently thought to have aged out, has been is revitalized, and there are children in the neighborhood. There are children that currently stand to wait for the bus at the T of Prince and King. My house is the last house on King Street. I am fortunate enough to have three young girls that have to walk there and catch that bus, and I can stand on my porch and walk, make sure that they are safe. But the point is, currently there are no safe places for those children to play. There's no safe places for those children to stand to wait on their bus. There's no safe place for Mrs. She's here, but she walks every morning. And I can see her standing. She's back there in the back. But she walks every morning. Sometimes she catches the bus. Sometimes she walks. There are no walking sidewalks in the neighborhood. The services that we receive from the town currently is very poorly. The impact on our neighborhood would be drastic. I've said that I own the last house on King Street. At the end of King Street, the next over is private property that's owned by Weatherly Hills or Weatherly something. And it says private property, do not enter. But being I'm the risk taker that I am, I often go that way. And others also take that as a shortcut to get through to Smith-Lever Road or to go to their homes that are on the left side of my properties. There is also an increase of persons walking in that neighborhood that we no longer are able to identify. It's highly populated with students, UNC students. It's students, persons that live in the neighboring neighborhoods also. So any impact on that neighborhood to have traffic flow from that Harris Teeter or whatever those commercial properties will have a negative impact on a neighborhood that I think have been neglected by our town, in which we are required to pay taxes to. There are no sidewalks. The light that should be maintained by the town next to at the end of my property line stays out. To get it, it's currently out, has been out for the past 3 or 4 months. The call to get it in takes an act of Congress. My daughter is currently at college, and she usually takes that on as a challenge to get that light back on. But I don't see where it should be my responsibility or her responsibility. Last spring, where the kids catch the bus on Bond Street, which are the properties that are maintained by the town, there were a bed of snakes there. The kids had to stand further from where they would normally stand to catch the bus. They stood in the street to catch the bus. It is not safe. So we currently live in a neighborhood that has been neglected by the town. I don't know if it's because of the demographics of that neighborhood, the SES of that neighborhood, or what. But if that commercial property properties traffic is allowed to flow over onto Bond Street, it will have more of a negative impact than it will have a positive impact. I think the best place for that traffic is to do whatever you need to do with that property, that traffic flow, and have it exit back out to Jones Ferry Road. Jones Ferry, going up Jones Ferry, stopping to make the left on Barnes Street from Carver, from the thrift shop down, and stopping at top of Jones Ferry. To make a left there currently is unsafe. My daughter was rear-ended there while she was waiting to make a left at 8 o'clock in the morning. Jones Ferry, believe it or not, is a main vein in the community between Chapel Hill and Carlborough. There's a lot of traffic that go up and down that road, street, whatever we want to call it, particularly with UNC students. When the bus gets there at the corner of the property that I guess it's owned by my lot, it's a vacant lot, it is, you can't see to make the left, you can't see to make the right, so the traffic is automatically held up. You also have traffic that turns right into Owassa, and you have persons going into Owassa all the time. So before you make the decision to how that traffic will flow and understand that the property owners have pretty much decided it will go, I have nothing against that being commercial property because it has always been commercial property. I've always didn't choose initially to live in Carlborough. My parents reared me here in Carlborough. But once when I got older and old enough to purchase property, I chose that community because I've always admired the persons that lived in that neighborhood. They are respectful African-Americans that worked hard, maintained high standards in this community. I see this as to continue to deny those persons, now myself, an opportunity to do some of the things that we wanted to do, is live there, live comfortably, to live without a lot of persons intruding upon us. When I went in and bought that property, first was renting, there were no sidewalks. It didn't bother me. But now, all of a sudden, you want to put something else there, but you've not taken the time to come look, see what that neighborhood looks like and what we think about our community, how we feel about our community. And I think we're very proud of our community. And as Mr. Harris reminded me that it would be a good tax base for the schools, and I said to him, you know, I'm not here for the schools tonight. I'm here to speak for me. I'm here to speak for my neighbors that have been there forever, and want to continue to live in a safe neighborhood. And it's not as safe as it used to be. There are persons, that, as I said, that walk through all the time. I learned at one of my school board meetings that indeed Barnes Street, some 2 years ago, had a Barnes Street gang. I didn't know that. No one took the time to come tell us that there was indeed a gang that existed in our community that threatened our livelihood. No one has taken the time to come into our community to talk about the implications of placing a commercial property, particularly Harris Teeter, when we have, if that Harris Teeter goes there, there will be 4 major grocery stores within a mile radius of each other. Not to leave out Weaver Street Market. There are a lot of places that a Harris Teeter could go, and there could be some quaint little shops put there that's walkable and more user-friendly, not as busy, and have as much of an implication. I don't know if I'm here to save us from the Harris Teeter, but please save us from the traffic and the impact of that traffic will have on Barn Street. I say do not let the traffic flow onto Barn Street. We have enough cut through from Greensboro to King to Barnes, from Barnes to King to Smith Level or Greensboro Street, whatever that is called. Please, this time, think about our neighborhood. Think about those kids that are standing in the street waiting to be picked up by the school bus. Think about Mrs. Holman as she walks and other persons walk in our neighborhood. Our safety, is very, very important to us. Very important to us. Thank you.
The next speaker is Ben Davis.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give to the truth to the best of your knowledge?
Hello, I'm Ben Davis. I live at 115 Barnes Street. I was given a statement tonight to read from two residents from Prince Street, James and Penny Weaver. It is, we have lived in the Lincoln Park neighborhood for almost 37 years. We and many other residents are approaching the older years of our lives and would prefer the continued ease of getting in and out of our neighborhood as we have done for many years. Our immediate concern is for the safety while maneuvering in and out of our neighborhood in the midst of the enormous amount of traffic that a shopping center brings. Many of us in the neighborhood are retired or will be retired very soon and are not the drivers that we used to be in our youthful years. Thank you in advance for considering our concern for safety. Mr. and Mrs. James and Penny Weaver. I just had a couple of points that I wanted to bring up. One of them being that we had proposed a potential idea for two entrances on Jones Ferry, and I understand that you need to be approximately 600 feet apart to have two entrances. Is that correct, around there? I don't know the exact numbers. But what I'm wondering is, this is like 550, 600 feet. It's pretty close. And if you go to the Food Lion in Carrboro Plaza, it's about 450 feet where you've got two ins and outs. You go to the Harris Teeter in Carrboro, it's about 200 feet you've got ins and outs. So I understand that those were built before maybe current regulations, but they exist. So there's ways to maybe make that work to keep the safety of the neighborhood in mind. And currently, a lot, M1 zone, has a driveway in use right here, in use every day. People are coming in and out of there every day as I go up the street. So that's already happening, not down here, up here now, currently. So I'm just wondering if maybe we can make two entrances and exits on Jones Ferry work. Another point I wanted to make is, if we agree to this, what guarantee and recourse do we have as a neighborhood that sidewalks are going to come all the way down to our street, that the DOT is going to actually do follow through with the light? I mean, you guys aren't in control of the DOT. We're not in control of the DOT, but we are in control of potentially making this happen in our neighborhood or not, and have the access in our neighborhood. So maybe we should do something about what we can control and not wait for the DOT to agree or not agree, and then there's an accident, or two or five. And there's the other thing I wanted to bring up that isn't shown. It's glad to see there's some residents shown on the map finally here, because those weren't shown before. But there was also five major apartment complexes in this surrounding area. And I know the developers can't control the pedestrian access, but if the pedestrian accesses are not granted, they're going to come up Barn Street. That's a lot of people walking up a street with no sidewalks, no bike lanes, no stripes in the middle of the road. So I just wanted to bring up those points. And there's talk of development further here and down here of condominiums, townhouses. It's just going to increase the traffic and the population density. So that's all I had to say. Thanks.
Thanks,
Ben.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ben. Lindsay Griffin.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Griffin. I live at 115 Barnes Street, and I'm here tonight to read the petition that some of the residents in Lincoln Park got together to write collectively for those that have not seen it, and also anybody at home that's going to watch this and might want to hear about it. We have 8 pages of signatures here. I don't know if that's something that I could give to you all that everybody could look at, which would be great too.
How many does that add up to?
It's a little over 70, and there are actually signatures from the majority of the residents in Lincoln Park, and then other surrounding neighborhoods, which include Maple Avenue, Shelton Street, Oak Avenue, Poplar, and I think there's a couple other as well. So this is not, even though it is an issue for Lincoln Park, there are other people in the community that are just as concerned about it, and I think that shows through in that too. So the petition, to the Carborough Board of Aldermen and Mayor Mark Chilton. We, the concerned residents of Lincoln Park, consisting of Barnes, Prince, King, and Queen Streets, appeal to the Board of Aldermen and Mayor Mark Chilton to not approve the conditional use permit for the shops of Jones Ferry unless the following conditions are met. Number one, no vehicular access to the shops at Jones Ferry from Barnes Street. We feel that two entrances on Jones Ferry Road would be sufficient to meet project needs. Under the current layout, the developers estimate that at least 1,250 additional vehicles per day would use Barnes Street for access to the shops. This vehicle load will be dangerous for pedestrians, bicyclists, and drivers and will negatively impact the surrounding neighborhood due to noise and air pollution. This road was designed as a residential street, and we should keep it one. Number two, 100% of stormwater created from the site should be treated on site. The town of Carborough, and thus its citizens, should not be required to subsidize the treatment of stormwater runoff from the site. It is the responsibility of the site owner and tenants to provide appropriate storage and treatment capacity. Number three, the town agrees to address wider safety issues surrounding the project. The sloped grade of Jones Ferry Road, an expanding local population, and subsequent increases in pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicular traffic on Barnes Street require an immediate evaluation of traffic safety. A stoplight at the corner of Barnes and Jones Ferry with adequate pedestrian crossings and pedestrian and cycle access to the shops development from Barnes Street in place of vehicular access, including sidewalks the length of Barnes Street to support pedestrian traffic into the shops, are crucial to ensuring citizen safety. Further, we endorse the numerous recommendations resulting from the Joint Advisory Board meetings on September 6, 2007, including, but not limited to, the addition of several bike racks, the provision of pedestrian access points to adjoining apartment complexes, and the redesign of the building exteriors to reflect a Carborough aesthetic. We thank you for your consideration of these important issues, the residents of Lincoln Park. So, thank you very much.
The next speaker is James Carnahan.
Have you got their renderings for the project?
It's in here somewhere.
Yes. Is that an elevation? Yes. Thank you. Good evening. I'm here to clarify some of the planning board recommendations. And I'll start with number two, which reads, make facade treatment and signage of storefronts along Jones Ferry Road and Barnes Street reflect Carborough's historic vernacular as found on the 100 block of Main Street, East Main Street, in the historic Carmel building. We actually appreciate a lot of the concessions that the developers were willing to make on this project that we had asked for, and are kind of surprised that they declined this one because it's easy. This is easy, and it doesn't even cost very much. It basically requires some more of your architect's time. It's really easy to take a digital camera and walk around town, take some photographs of the historic buildings. And while you're at it, a couple of the newer buildings that are just down this street that incorporate a lot of our historic vernacular. It's not that you have to do a complete makeover. It's just a process of looking at what's there and reading the architectural language, which will not be a problem for your architects, and taking some elements from that language and incorporating them into this facade. I think that's really, really simple thing to do. The developer did agree. When the planning board saw this elevation, we noticed that some of the buildings were decorated as if they had second floors. So we asked, are there second floors? And they said no. And we said, well, And they have explained the economic realities, which we'll accept for the time being. But what we said was then make the ceiling rafters high enough that somebody could come in and do a mezzanine and think of Cameron's and kitchen works at University Mall, for instance, where there's mezzanine. We didn't, there's no specific number in here, but I would encourage you to include a specific number that there be a minimum of 20 feet from the finished floor to the underside of the joists here in order to get a usable mezzanine. It seems that one of the most critical issues is the traffic light. The developers are perfectly happy to provide the traffic light. They're not the problem, and we would love to have it. We're not the problem. DOT is the problem. The planning board, I'm going to read the planning board's recommendation because there are actually several issues embodied in here. We strongly support the Board of Aldermen in negotiations with NCDOT that will bring about some resolution of serious safety concerns at the intersection of Jones Ferry and Barn Street. Particularly, the Planning Board wants a clearly marked crosswalk across Jones Ferry leading to a sidewalk on the north side of Jones Ferry and some form of signalization at this intersection. There's a long stretch along Jones Ferry. And this is a fairly urban thoroughfare here between Main Street and a crosswalk there. And there's no official crosswalk anywhere west that I'm aware of. A lot of people cross at Davie Street, and we've got some signage there. We've got a huge long stretch here of an area where there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. Lots of density out there, lots of people living out there wanting to walk into the downtown. And so this recommendation, which has a lot of implications for you all, is not just about getting that traffic light, which we think is essential, but also addressing the need for a sidewalk on the other side of Jones Ferry and for real crosswalks at intervals along Jones Ferry. But one particular thing that I will say about that is since the developer was willing to provide this stoplight and knowing that we will, if we approve this, we will pursue that stoplight to ask the developer to put the funds for the stoplight in escrow so that they'll be there. Thank you.
Thanks, James. All right. The next speaker is Esther McCauley.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give is the truth and best you can
know? Good evening. I'm Esther McCauley. I live at 207 Bond Street. I spoke last week, and after I opened the paper the next day, I found out I was being quoted. Don't even remember saying it, but I think it was something like, I want to say Bond Street, and I'm not thinking about the grocery store. I've never called it its name, Food Line, because I have no animosity against any of that, or the people that did this great plan. But if they had been playing it since 2002 and it approached our community, we could have worked together. Perhaps we would have a slideshow to show our children standing at the bus stop, to show our homes. I haven't seen a home yet. They showed the buildings that's on the property, but they haven't shown any of our houses. Are we not important? A few years ago, I remember when they wanted to bring in Wendy's. They had the policemen, the deputies, concerned citizens, and everybody sitting up there for days, weeks, and months counting the property, Has anyone stopped by Bond Street to count to see how many people walk, how many people drive, how many people ride a bicycle? At one time, Carrboro was called the bedroom to Chapel Hill. That was probably before your time. But more people, especially university-related people, rented in Carrboro. Now we've grown. We are now Paris. The shops. They're somewhere like Paris, isn't it? Especially the spelling. If there are 1,000 cars going up and down this street, will the people from Barnes, Prince, and Queen please raise your hands? Repeat after me. I want to go home. That's all we want to do. I want to go home. Can you say the same and drive by Harris Teeter, our food line, our Weaver Street Market? All I want to do is drive home. Thank you.
Mr. Robert Dow.
Good evening, everyone. I live at 205 Barnes Street. I'd like to clarify one thing before we go on, which is I believe that DOT has actually done a traffic analysis for after the shopping center has been built and still have decided that this does not warrant a traffic light. That seems to keep going up. Is that correct? Can I believe I spoke to the planning department and they said this was the case.
Can you pull that microphone?
Yeah,
closer?
Sorry.
The Department of Transportation has made no decision about the traffic light.
They've made no decision at all.
That's correct.
I don't understand how that can be the case. They've said the junction does not warrant a traffic light.
Well, Adina, where is Adina? Lorraine, Marty. We've had conversations with the district engineer about this issue, and there is a condition that reflects that conversation.
Preliminary during the, well, I'll speak to everyone. During the initial review, the several months of review we've undergone, DOT's kind of initial response was that the traffic study didn't show that there was that it met warrants for a light, that it met any of the warrants. But since the original public hearing last week, we've spoken to the NCDOT staff, and they said that they're open to discussing it further. Steve is correct in suggesting they've made no final decision. DOT, that's just their typical normal procedure. They never make a final decision on such matters until the construction plan review, at which point they issue a driveway permit.
So that's typical of them that the first answer is no. Sorry, can we get? I just want to clarify one point in this conversation. It's a little bit confusing. Is this use of the word warrants, or warrant, or whether it was warranted? I don't know why. I've never heard anybody else talk that way, but people at DOT use the word warrant there in this particular setting to mean like criteria, or in other words. That they look at several different criteria in deciding whether to put a stoplight in or not. They say they call those their warrants that they look at. But anyway, so and that I think is where the notion that they said it wasn't warranted.
Yeah.
They mean it didn't meet their initial analysis of the criteria.
Right, and my response to that is that I was told by both, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Marty.
Both Marty and James Thomas in separate conversations that even after a traffic analysis, they believed it would not meet a warrant.
Right, so
even accounting for the additional traffic.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. That was what we were told during the review. It's been over the course of the last week that we've contacted DOT, and I'm not saying that they definitely will approve a light. I'm just saying that the response from Chuck Edwards that they're open to further discussion of it.
If I understood the issue correctly, one of the issues involved with a traffic light being put there is whether there is space for left turn storage lane. In other words, there's not a place for people to pull up and wait to make the left turn at that intersection.
Could I suggest the applicant has their traffic engineer here that did the study? He may be able to speak to this better than me, if that's acceptable.
Sure. You're not done, right, Robert? No. Okay, but come on up and go ahead and address the point, as long as we're on the topic.
My name is Lyle Overcash, Martin Lakeshore Bryson, 4000 West Chase Boulevard in Raleigh. We prepared the traffic impact analysis for the development. And in the traffic study, we did study two alternatives. We studied both a roundabout and a conventional intersection, and in which we also tested to see if it would warrant signalization. Now, going through signal warrants, you have 11 warrants that you test, and based on the traffic projections in the TIA, it will not meet signal warrants. Now, the developer is perfectly willing to put up a signal at the intersection of Barnes and Jones Ferry Road, granting that DOT would give him permission. I think he's willing to come in and agree to do a study after the development is complete and see if it warrants signalization, and then come in and construct a signal if it is warranted.
Okay. Bearing in mind we're in the midst of Mr. Dow's comments, but go ahead.
Just to, can you clarify how close we are to that threshold? I mean, I know it has to do with number of accidents or something like that. And how close are we to that threshold?
You're pretty far away.
Very far away.
Yeah. You have various warrants. There's peak hour warrants. There's warrants that extend over 4 hours and warrants that extend over 8 hour period. DOT prefers that you meet warrants that meet longer durations of traffic periods. Even though you might even meet a peak hour warrant for traffic, say for a retail development, you may meet it in the afternoon peak hour, where you have retail development and afternoon commuting traffic that kind of combine and generate the need for a signal, say for that 1 hour. They still want to, you know, sometimes won't allow the traffic signal. But then you also have accident warrants. For an accident warrant to be met, you need to have 5 accidents per year that are correctable by a traffic signal. Rear-end collisions are not accidents that are correctable by traffic signals.
In DOT's world, universe. Anyway,
it's not just DOT.
It's not Lyle's.
It's traffic engineering. But at the intersection of Barnes and Jones Ferry had 10 accidents over a 5-year period from the data that was available from DOT. Now, that's some accidents occur that don't get reported, but that's an average of 2 per year. Comparison to the intersection just down to the west, Davie, the same period, had 27. So there you have an intersection that is far worse as far as accidents go. Probably a lot of folks in the town can contest that that intersection is a lot
worse. It's by the intersection, not by the main road. Because, I mean, I remember, I mean, pulling teeth to get that light on David Road, we were like 2.5 accidents away, and finally did happen and met the threshold. But one would think, you know, the main Jones Ferry Road is the same traffic that...
You look at an area of surrounding intersection that's probably 150, 200 feet for the confluence area of intersection when you look at the number of accidents. But mainly you're trying to correct angle collisions, and you just didn't have that many.
Okay. Mr. Dow.
Sorry about that.
That's right. Thank you. I think at this point we've firmly established the pros and the cons of this development. We've been over it extensively. I understand that it's Carbro's stated objective to increase the commercial tax base. However, the cost in this case is simply too high for the local residents. Traffic, safety issues, noise, stormwater runoff, and light pollution are just some of the objections to this particular application. I believe that it is simply too much to ask of one neighborhood to bear the weight of this project, especially an area that is reliant on this single point of access for safe ingress and egress for all modes of transit. NCDOT's decision that no change can currently be made to the junction before or after the construction seems to make this a determinant issue. I understand that's still in flux, but we can hardly go forward with it being in flux and not having an answer to that issue. It seems, too, that any growth should be well considered and intelligent. Harris Teeter's assurance is that they're not going to close their Carmel Mall shop aside. The impact on the nearby food line is incalculable at this point. Though they may have somewhat different market segments, there is significant overlap between the two stores. And ending up with one empty commercial center as a result of the construction of a newer one does not make sense in terms of sustainability or controlled growth. This seems an especially worrisome unknown given the town's recent expensive construction of an access sidewalk to the Willow Creek Shopping Center under the 54 bypass. Simply stated, I believe that Carbro can do better than this, both in terms of the process and the space itself. It's my strong belief that a more creative and synergistic consultation process, as highlighted by some of my neighbors, could really result in a space that would be uniquely Carbro rather than simply more of the same. But it seems this project cannot, unfortunately, provide that opportunity. And on these grounds, I urge all members of the board and the mayor to reject this application. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Diane Robertson?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give us the truth to the best of your knowledge?
I'm late to the party. I happened to read the paper today, and I was just sort of taken aback by the article that said that this neighborhood was going to have this kind of overwhelming impact and that it was up to the Board of Aldermen to consider that. Most of what I would have said has been said and been said more eloquently by the people who live there, but I thought I'd add my voice as someone who doesn't live in that neighborhood. I live in one of those outlying landlocked subdivisions that was added on inorganically as the town has grown. I've lived here about 15 years, and what I keep saying to people who come here and ask about the changes, I say, well, I feel like I'm living in the place where we're squeezing the neck of the goose that laid the golden egg, that the very things that have made this community special, unique, the magic touch they talk about in Chapel Hill are being eroded, and I must say, not necessarily eroded in the best interest of those people who've held the community up long before many of us came into it. And our neighbors here spoke eloquently to that. But I was just appalled. I thought, Carbro isn't Chatham, isn't Chapel Hill. It's smart. It isn't going to do the kinds of things that are going to undermine the very qualities aesthetically and in personality. And even in the sense of growth for the sake of growth, I mean, I live in a budget. You know, if you can't afford something, then you don't do it. You don't just keep saying, well, if I get one more thing, I'll be able to afford the next thing. You know, if we're growing disproportionate to the tax base, then maybe we need to look at some other things. I remember the former mayor when I first came here. There was one elementary school, and they were building all of these houses that had 4 and 5 bedrooms. And I said, I don't understand. Where are these people going to go to school? These are not homes for retirees. This was 1992. And the answer was, well, we don't have any control over the schools. But you do have control over the buildings that happen and who comes into the community. If you can't afford to build more schools, then don't build more houses. Or if you can't afford roads, Jones Ferry Road is never going to be wide enough for the traffic that's going to come in there. If you build it, they will come. If you build a Harris Teeter, you will have more traffic than you can possibly manage. All of you drive on those roads. You all know, whether DOT knows it or not, you all know the kind of congestion that has occurred here incrementally over the few years that you've all lived here. And I just don't see any kind of aesthetic, economic, or human interest that can be served by undermining one of the vernacular communities that we have here. You represent a diverse ethnically, culturally, and in social background. I'm proud of that. That's what makes Scarborough unique. If we are going to undermine the vernacular communities here, and you can call them by whatever names you want, we are going to look like a sterile, homogenous environment. And you cannot tell me that this is going to improve the Paris of the Piedmont. It just isn't. We have enough grocery stores. We have people cannot walk to these places. You have to have a car if you live in Scarborough and Chapel Hill. So to say we're building downtown so people can walk is a smokescreen. It's a fantasy. You must have a car. You've got to drive it somewhere. And, you know, I was just so taken aback. I said, I have to go and at least let the people who I vote for know that, you know, I really hold them up to a higher standard than to sell Scarborough to people from the outside whose interests are not necessarily the same as ours. Thank you.
Okay. That's the last person who was signed up to speak. Is there anybody else here who would like to speak who didn't sign up on this list?
Good evening. Thank you. It's a tough crowd here. It's a good crowd here. This is how the process works, is people showing up and giving this information. So I'd like to start off with, if you are a candidate in this election and you're not coming to these proceedings, then I have a hard time considering my vote for you. So the people that are sitting up here, listen to the people that are out there. This is a testament to, if you're a candidate, you should be coming to the proceedings and knowing how the business works. With that said, I'm here, as I said, I supported the growth before. If we don't keep up with our growth here, Chapel Hill is just going to surpass us. We're already putting pressure on us with their 10-story buildings and bringing their grocery stores in downtown. We're going to have the traffic on these roads, whether we're ready for it or not. I strongly do support getting a stoplight, pushing that we can try to get some sort of stoplight at that location or somewhere in that proximity. People down in that neighborhood who go down to the Food Line don't have a way of crossing Jones Ferry Road to get to the, safely crossing Jones Ferry Road to get to the Food Line or to Harris Teeter across the way there. I do support the developing commercial site. If it's not this, hopefully it'll be something else that works in with the neighborhoods. I do support the neighborhood and their concerns there. We do need the development. We do need a stoplight at that location with crosswalks. I'd like to suggest to the developer, with the interest of connectivity to the neighborhood apartments and so forth in the area, you might want to, if you haven't been planning on making some sort of back entrance connections to them, you know, walkway connections, you might want to reconsider that, because if you don't, they will. It's human nature. They will make their own paths if you don't. So I'd like to add that to you. Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak at this time? Come up and let's get you on the microphone so we can have you in the recording of our hearing here.
Again, I'm Elizabeth Carter. I guess I'm not the last person to hear that this is before you all tonight, and this is indeed the second public hearing. What I'm surprised of and a little bit disappointed that we're latecomers to be a part of this process. And the lady that I spoke with on Sunday on my front porch, you know, I said to her, you know, sometimes in planning things, we plan them in isolation of reality. And I think what you've heard here tonight is a lot of reality, and that we need to be cognitive of that and sensitive to that reality. I too support growth in Chapel Hill and Carrboro because we need the growth. But what I do not support is us being insensitive to those persons that have made a conscious choice to live where we currently live. And my question is, when will the final vote be taken? What is the next step? What is it as we as residents need to be doing? Because I do not want to pick up my newspaper or some person that's running for a seat in the towns to tell me that there's a meeting being planned. Hopefully it will all be open policy, open procedure, and we will be well informed. We are a small neighborhood. We are a quiet neighborhood. But as you've heard here tonight, we can make noise and let our voices be heard. So if someone could keep us informed of the process, what we need to be doing next, the light and listening to some of the conversations I hear it's possible. And DOT says that it's not warranted, and I kind of understand those conversations. But if it's not safe to turn left with no red light, and I understand why it's not safe, because it would not prevent someone from rear-ending you turning left. But I guess we need to know what the process is, if someone can keep us informed in a timely fashion so that we can be doing what we need to be doing. I understand that immediately across from me, where there's a strip of land, that there is also some talk of some townhomes coming there. I would like to be kept informed because I intend to, as I've gone into retirement once, I am coming out and also have my mom that lives with me that's 85 years old and would not lack my next set of neighbors to be students and persons that are always doing, like Ms. Gist said, at the cradle. I've passed that age and care not to have my neighbors keeping me up at night.
Yes.
So if you all could please keep us informed as the process, when the vote is to take place, will or will it not happen, and truly think about our safety. As Polly said, that we want to go home. We just simply want to be able to go home. We want to be able to open our front door, sit on the porch, drink coffee, watch our children at the bus stop safely. And currently we do not have the provisions there that provide safety for our children to wait on the bus now. So, as you're thinking about what's to come at that site. Also, don't forget us in that little neighborhood that pretty much have been quiet. But please do not mistake that for our not caring and not having enough sense to recognize what's occurring in our small town.
I just want to be real clear on something. That our public hearings have been announced. I'm hearing the neighborhood, and I've been hearing the neighborhood, but nothing has happened in secret, as some candidate may have kind of implied. Our meetings have been announced to the neighborhood. There have been things up on the boards. So I'm sorry if you felt that way, but we really pride ourselves in open government, and I think we do a good job of it, just like the school board.
Could I add one comment?
Okay. I'm afraid there may be some people running for office that may be implying that.
That we'll hear whatever they want to hear.
Could I make one comment to add to that? I was just stepping back to double-check my own memory, but there also was a neighborhood meeting held by the applicant in April, I believe, and everybody within 1,000 feet of that property should have been notified. So that should have covered the vast majority of that neighborhood. So there really hasn't been anything done in secret on this project. You might not agree with it, but it's been a very open process.
Okay.
I need to come back and clarify, because never did I use the term Just kind of the feeling that, that we hadn't been keeping people informed. Yeah.
Well, I never used the term and implied now. That you all were doing things in secrecy. But, you know, I, being that I am on elected board and I know how the processes work, if at the last minute you call, remind us that there are things that are impacting us and you don't see someone there in the neighborhood, you know, simply because we're not there, we don't assume, we sometimes we assume that we will be okay. It's as if with my board, I think sometimes if parents don't come out, then they're okay with the decisions that, that I make. But sometimes I think as elected officials that you have to have your pulse on the community and say to someone or contact someone specifically in a neighborhood and say, hey, this is going on. Did you know? You know, that we all read. As I say, I have my 85-year-old mom. I have three kids that are under the age of 15. I'm 56 years old. I am retired, but I do my 85-year-old mom. I do my board meetings. In fact, I need to be in Hillsborough now at a joint meeting with the county commissioners and the Orange County Board. My neighbors are also, there are persons that live within my neighborhood that are sick, that live within a neighborhood, do the care themselves. We go to personal things also. What I'm asking is just go the extra mile, the same extra piece that we as politicians go when we want to be elected. That's the only thing I'm asking. I'm not accusing you all of doing anything in secret. I knew this was coming, but I didn't know that all these conversations had been going on for this long period of time. And I'm not looking for anyone to blame. I knew when I moved there that, and knew when I was a little girl and played where currently Arbor Meadows is, I lived on that properties. I've walked Jones Ferry before it was incorporated into the city. I knew, I've known this town forever. I chose to live in Carver by choice because of the lack of this. I chose to live in Carborough because of the car mills, because of the friendliness, because right. of the old mill homes that are currently here that we're ridding ourselves
I'm hearing you, and what I'm saying is we hear you and we have been hearing you.
And I think, you know, just to round out the point, and I hear the point you're making, and I'll say this, that, you know, and this doesn't have to do with this particular application, but this is a constant challenge for us to face, that, you know, a postcard or a form letter from the town or from the developer telling you about a meeting on parcel such and such and whatever, you know, it doesn't necessarily tell you that much in your busy life. You've got, you know, that's the kind of thing that goes straight into the, hopefully into the recycling bin, you know, and I know that, and it is a challenge because when you know what none of us really want is to be surprised by this stuff, to have this stuff sneak up on us, and all I can say is I think having worked, you know, I've worked with each of these people for 4 years, and I know it's something that we're constantly struggling with and prodding our staff about. How can we do a better job of getting that word out there earlier on about what the opportunities are for the public to participate in that process?
But particularly with the stoplight, we know something commercial will come there. It has always been commercial property. But what we're saying tonight is to consider our safety and our livelihoods. That's the only thing that we're asking.
Let me say this on the stoplight subject, that I think there's at least a little bit more reason to be optimistic about the potential for a stoplight there now than what we were hearing a week ago, because I think the indication from DOT is that they are open to reexamining that issue. And I think what we need to do as a board, and this also doesn't have to do with this development, because the stoplight is needed, frankly, with or without the development, in my estimation. And in any case, even if it's not this development, some development, like you say, will end up happening there. But I think what this board needs to do
is to communicate very clearly with our representative on the State Board of Transportation, Doug Gallion, to say, you know, this is a priority for our town. This is something that is significant to us, and we want a stoplight here. I believe that we're probably all in agreement about making that a priority item. And so we will do that, again, regardless of what the decision might be about this particular development.
Thank you, and I apologize for any misunderstanding, but also keep in consideration any form of safety for that particular neighborhood. If indeed the red light not there somewhere along Jones Ferry Road, and my cry here, and I think for my neighbors, is to keep the traffic from that development off of Bond Street. I think that's what needs to be heard here tonight.
Okay. Well, we've got a long list of related subjects to get into. Dana,
are we ready to move on to talk about the application?
Yes.
Yeah. Bruce, did you need to say something first? Or?
I was sworn in last week. I'm Bruce Ballantyne, civil engineer for the applicant. Mayor Chilton, you expressed most of what I wanted to say, is that I don't think that this is a dead issue with the traffic signal. I believe that if this Board of Aldermen were unified in its efforts with DOT through not only the Board of Transportation member, the local member, but also with our General Assembly members that represent this area, that traffic signal will happen. We obviously can't guarantee that, but this applicant has, from the very beginning, agreed to foot the bill for that, and any improvements the DOT will approve at that intersection and along that stretch of Barnes to make it safer. And so I just wanted to remind everyone of that we're on the same side on this point, and that I think he would agree to, even if this signal were not agreed to by DOT today or during the construction plan process and permit process, but within a certain reasonable period of time, let's say another year, if DOT could be persuaded to allow a traffic signal to be located at that intersection, this applicant would agree to that as a condition of approval. Thank you.
Okay. Dan.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to support this application, and that's a very hard decision to come to because, as everyone has said, we really need the economic development. I came in tonight wanting to support it, hoping to be able to support it, but the fact is that the concerns raised by the neighbors just rise to too high a level for me. And it's interesting that, talk has came up during the hearing about the campaign, because we've got probably 8 or 9 questionnaires, those of us who are candidates, and all of them ask, what's your philosophy of growth in one way or the other? And what I've said to every one of those is that we need to take our time to do it right. And this is, in my mind, an exact case of that, where there's no urgency. Yeah, we want the economic development, the tax dollars from this commercial development, but there's no urgency for it, that we can't get it right. So what I would be looking for, I mean, I don't know what the other 6 of you are going to decide, but what I would be looking for is for the developer, we know, there was a meeting in April. I don't know who came, what the discussion was, but you all know who's in the room tonight and who it is who's outspoken and understands the neighborhood and cares about this issue, and the conversations can happen so that there's the potential to come back in with a design that's going to satisfy the neighborhood, and that's what I would look for. And beyond that, if for some reason this project doesn't continue to move forward, I would like us to agree as a board that we would take a closer look with the planning staff at that neighborhood, at not just the traffic conditions, but the lack of amenities for the neighborhood, and kind of try and make a plan for the future of, some kind of very small area plan that would look at that neighborhood and the surrounding neighborhoods and what we might do down the road for that.
Jackie.
When I first saw this, I thought, it's really not what I want for Carborough. But my job is not what I want for Carborough. If it was, a lot of the things that are getting ready to happen wouldn't be happening. And I thought, okay, I can deal. I think, you know, I find the name kind of ugh. And how it looks could be in Cary or Raleigh, although it's a very nice version of that. I thought, okay, I can live with that. And then I started hearing from the neighbors. And there seems to be no flexibility and no way to protect the neighborhood from the huge impact that this will have on them. You know, Harris Teeter saying, we won't build it if we can't have a street, you know, if we can't have the ingress, egress that we want. And I think, well, gosh, this Harris Teeter, those are closer. The ones on the Food Lion, that's closer. You know, why DOT won't allow that? And then I think, well, the taxes would be good for Carborough. But what good are taxes for Carborough if the people of Carborough can't live in their homes with feelings of peace and safety? If it wasn't for the road issue, I could find a way to live with it. But I can't. You know, we pride ourselves on the sustainability model, that things must be environmentally sustainable. This isn't. That things must be socially sustainable. It's not. And that things must be economically sustainable. I'm not sure what the economics of this would actually turn out to be. So I wish, because it's not a good guys, bad guys things. I think for the kind of project it is, it's well designed. It's the wrong thing for that place. And it would, our bottom line has to be the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Carborough. This does not promote that, and in some ways it detracts from it. So I'm not going to be able to support it either.
Other issues that we need to discuss with the staff right at this point, as far as soliciting some responses from them that'll be a part of the record for whatever decision we're going to make at this point?
I had a question about sidewalks and at what point the Barn Street area is up for sidewalking and where it is on the priority list.
It wasn't.
Good evening. While the earlier discussion was going on, I got a hold of the map that represents the original sidewalks that were discussed as part of the sidewalk bond program. And there were originally 67 locations. As you well know, we're only working on the first phase, phase one, which is about 21 of those locations. The Barn Street, King Street, and Prince area were identified as part of those original 67 in the when the locations were first put together.
I have a feeling the answer to my colleague's question is it's just moved up on the priority.
Sorry, so I missed. You said it is on the list.
Well, it's on the original 67 that were identified as part of the bond proposal. But as you well know from all the updates and so forth, as the construction costs,
we don't have the money to build all of those.
That we're looking to have for funds for the first 21 as we already are. So
where does it rank? You may have said this and I missed it. Where does it rank? Will be
it is not ranked. It's on one of the original the 67 of the list, and only the 21 in phase one were actually prioritized and put on that list.
Okay. So it's 22 or lower.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And I just, as long as we're talking about the sidewalk issues for just a moment, I'm not sure if I completely understood the point that the planning board chair was making earlier about this, but seems to me that on the north side of Jones Ferry Road, the topography is very difficult. It drops. Owassa has this sort of embankment or hillside that drops down fairly dramatically, and I recall that the town of Carrboro actually passed up the opportunity to compel Owassa to include a sidewalk along that stretch because the topography was so difficult, and in part because there was already an existing sidewalk on the south side of Jones Ferry Road. So I think that sidewalk construction issues are really important, but in terms of thinking about prioritizing where sidewalks need to go, that the north side of Jones Ferry Road is not, you know, that we ought to be focused more on, like, Barn Street, for example, than on the north side of Jones Ferry Road, given that topography is really bad there and the south side already has one sidewalk. That's not directly to the point of this application, but it's pertinent to the area.
I have a question. I don't know who can answer this for me, but I'm from listening to folks last week and this week, and I'm listening very carefully to concerns. I want to be clear that neighborhood folks, because I'm not sure that when Lindsay presented the petition, I want to be clear that if the traffic concerns, the light, the sidewalks, the driveway, if those items were neutralized somehow, even more so than when the applicant went back and did some revisions, is that one way to get closer to a win-win?
Can I respond? I don't want to respond for Lindsay, but I don't think we should do planning on the fly like this, and as a process. And what my comments were going to be were that we have spent a lot of time, staff has spent a lot of time, the board has spent a lot of time thinking about and talking about what goes on in the northern part of Carrboro. We have discussed a lot what goes on downtown in Carrboro. And I think where we have been remiss, and I include myself, is that we do not discuss enough with neighbors when we have these pieces of parcels that are going to change character. Not to cut you off on asking Lindsay a question, but to think about if we impose a process on different parts of the town, we ought to impose the same process for every part of the town. And I want you to think about, we want a certain amount of process that we want the university to follow for Carolina North. I think we should hold ourselves to the same standard. This is not a case where we dislike the developer. It is not a case where we don't want to have more commercial space in Carrboro, because I've been a long-time proponent of more commercial space in Carrboro. But on the other hand, at the end of the day, even if it takes us longer, and everybody on the board knows I don't like a lot of process, we should try to do it better. Now, I don't know if that means holding the hearing open to see if something else can be presented or modified or what. But I encourage us to think about, as we go through this process, because they're going to be, we may want to create a model that says when this occurs, we're going to do X. So everybody's put on notice, both the developer, the neighbors. We need to have a better process. And I'm not criticizing staff. This is policy from us. Not that, you know, not staff, because they do what we tell them to do. We have provided them direction, but in this case, the board as a whole, we have been remiss. And I don't know how else to put it. When we look at the maps and the amount of time we spend on other areas. So I don't know how we can function in doing it in a way that's better, but I think what this sort of points out to is that for all people involved, we board, have not put in sufficient procedures to say, when we look at the footprint of Carrboro, is this exactly where we want certain things to be? Because if you look at the northern part of the county, or the Carrboro, there's not one grocery store up there, and the closest grocery store that you are to is the one on MLK, right as you go to 40. And we know the dynamics of that area close to Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Parts of it are going to grow, parts of it have already grown.
Randy, I'll turn it back to you.
So what I want to just be very clear from the, I want the Barnes Street folks to tell me, the neighborhood folks, you know, whether the traffic situation, the lights, the sidewalks is something that, you know, if that was neutralized somehow, if that's something through the process, through carefully reworking some part of the process, is that something that folks would be tantamount to success in terms of creating a win-win? I just want to be sure it's that folks don't want, they just don't not want anything there, or
Please do, don't
I want to be
that
real
without coming
certain
up here if you're going to.
I understand
there's
that.
There's another lady.
Well, I.
Yeah.
See if you need to speak after she does.
I think for the majority, and please, anybody that's here that wants to correct me, stand up and correct me. But I think for the majority, the main point is that's commercial space, and it's going to get developed. We know something's going to happen there. Regardless of that, that's our only way out of the neighborhood. So if there's access off of Barn Street that's going to congest our road even more, I mean, it's really going to be even more difficult for us. And aside from that, we need the sidewalks regardless of something, you know, gets built. We need to be considered more. And I think you're really, you know, hit a point with, like, there's been many other areas of town that have been considered over and over and over again, and we're sort of in a forgotten area of town. And so I think a big, big point is that that's our only way in and out.
Mm-hmm.
At all. So if there's access off of Barn Street into any more commercial space, which there's possibly going to be more over there, we don't know. It could get really, really bad really quickly. So I think I'm speaking correctly for the majority of the neighborhood on that. So.
Does that answer your question?
I think it does.
Yep.
Come on up here quick.
Yeah.
Sal, and this way over, and the evidence you're about to give is the truth to the best of your knowledge.
I'm from Whispering Hills Development. It's a private development. It starts at the place where Ms. Carter's house stops, and she was mentioning a development, housing development. I have a townhouse there. And she was talking about the cars that go through. It's a private development. We wish it weren't, but there's nothing we can do about it because it was decided 25 years ago. But cars cut through from King, Prince, Barnes, everywhere through our development to get over to Greensboro Road, our Smith level, and we have a terrible problem. And I mean, nobody's here from our development to talk about it, but we'll have even more congestion, more cars cutting through to get from one side of Carver to the other.
Ma'am, could you state your name, please?
Betty James.
Betty James. Thanks.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Randy, did you want to continue?
Not right now. No, I'm thinking.
Alex.
I guess I'm following up on Joel and Randy's question, which is trying to get at the essential question of whether we're going to kill this out right now or whether there is some reasonable possibility or process by which it could be massaged to a level that's acceptable to the neighbors or not completely offensive to the neighbors. Your point was that we perhaps didn't do the pre-planning part. I guess my point was. Am I mischaracterizing?
No, you're not mischaracterizing it. You know, we do a lot of pre-planning, and we've spent. You know, I've been on board since 1999. I have been through probably two, and this would be the third northern area plan. And that was before I got on the board. That's when I was on Owassa, and I was Owassa's representative to the Northern Transition Area three-day planning event.
Yep.
We have spent resources and staff resources directed by us as policy to look at downtown. And we have spent, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years, even more. You have to start that Hamlin-Seiler report, which was 20 years ago. So, you know, I think as, you know, we know what the urban service boundaries are, and so we know these are the type of things that are going to add, there's going to be some kind of growth here. And, you know, the comment about there's another piece of property that people are looking at to develop, I think we need to look at it in a holistic way that we do other areas. And that's why I say it's a board policy. It is not staff. We direct staff to say we want to have a charrette on this section of town. We want to have a charrette on that section of town. And we really haven't done that.
No.
In great detail with any other parts of town, and then we get to this point where the developer has expended a lot of resources and time, and then you get the neighbors here, and their feelings of, you know, you want them to make a decision about something that's going to affect them for the next 20 or 30 years in a two-week period. And I guess we as responsible members of the board should say to ourselves, there's got to be a better way to conserve the developer's time, to conserve staff time, and to really use our time, spend it better than we have.
And your point is absolutely well taken.
You know, so
I guess what I'm just trying to get at is agreeing with everything that you just said. What do we do about it now?
Right.
Can I follow up on this? It seems to me that, you know, if the sentiment of the board is that we share the concerns of the neighborhood, then there's perhaps a question for the developer, which is, would the developer like us to continue this public hearing till a month from now to give them an opportunity to meet with the neighbors and look at other planning alternatives and see if they can come back with something that might be what we could call a win-win solution.
Right. And, Dan, that's what I was trying to get at, but I wasn't sure whether that would go as far as I think the interests that Joel was discussing. And... And just be whether this board would be interested in pursuing that as an option, because, you know, if it ain't happening, I mean, if it really ain't happening in anything approaching, you know, the form that's been presented, with obviously perhaps some substantial changes, then, you know, maybe we ought to just shoot this horse and put it out of its misery now. But I'd prefer not to do that if there's another way to work with this.
Well, let me ask you this, board. Would it be appropriate to would the board be interested in hearing the answer to the question that Dan asked, what the applicant's response to that would be? Not saying that that's necessarily what we would do, but just
makes sense.
Yeah. I think to move the conversation.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
I would like to remind the board and the staff that it took us over 10 years, probably close to 20 years, to get a light at Lloyd Street, and it literally took an act of Congress to do that. So when DOT tells us something, it doesn't mean much to me.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor Chilton and members of the board. We appreciate your trying to struggle with this and look for a solution that might find a happy median down the road. But unfortunately, this applicant has contractual legal constraints that expire very shortly. We've been working on this for 2 years to get to this point. We appreciate the efforts of the staff and the advisory boards to hold their meetings, make their decisions, pass the project along. This is your second meeting, second public hearing, and we also thank you and the neighbors for attending, speaking your piece, and struggling with this. But we would ask that you, we are here, what we came to this meeting tonight with an attitude to agree to anything, any proposal that was reasonable, anything within our power. Extending another month is not, unfortunately. If the applicant owned the land, it would be different. That's not the case. Mr. Malott owns the land. Contract expires October 1st. We needed a decision tonight. We were hoping for a positive decision. We were here to agree to any reasonable conditions or debate those or try to come to some common ground. But short of that, we would ask you to act one way or the other on the application. Thank you.
Can I just acknowledge in response to Bruce that I was very impressed with the number of conditions, basically almost everything that they came around and agreed to. And I thought that, you know, was, you know, a great show of good faith on their part.
The concern I have about some of the comments that I've heard from the board tonight is basically this project is it's a commercial retail project that's proposed in a zoning district that allows that type of commercial retail project. And it's fundamentally about the size of development that the development ordinance contemplates for the site, as far as I can understand it all. And I am inclined to think that there are a number of important conditions that need to be applied to before I would be comfortable with issuing a permit for this project. But basically, fundamentally, I don't really see a reason, a legally valid reason why the project would be rejected altogether. And
I'm not trying to put any words into anybody's mouth because I didn't hear anybody say that. But I guess my point is, there are an array of legally permissible uses of this property under our development ordinance, and this project basically falls within the array of uses that are allowed. Is it the very best one? No, I don't think so. I think it has some good aspects, and it has some aspects that seem less creative to me than they could be. But in any case, whatever that spectrum of uses are that are allowed on this property, that this falls within that spectrum somewhere. And so I would like to hear a motion to move out of public hearing, because I think we need to get to that point where we consider the application in detail and look at what kind of conditions might be acceptable to the board and acceptable to the applicant, because there's really not a reason to that I can see to say no to this altogether.
Move to close public hearing.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we close the public hearing. All those in favor of closing public hearing signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. That's okay. Just a procedural step that moves us closer to discussing the actual development application.
Why don't we discuss, there were actually some suggestions that came from members of the public who came to speak. That's not to say that they necessarily represent what everybody was willing to agree to, but there were suggestions made which are different than what is before us. And in addition to what's been agreed to, I'm sorry.
Could we circulate a copy of that petition? Could you just hand it down the line over here so we can actually take a look at because the petition actually spoke to some of those specifically.
Okay. Well, some of these may be modified.
Is there a way to put the condition part of it on the overhead?
Put the petition.
The condition part of that up on
of
the overhead.
The petition.
The suggestions.
She's like a school teacher or something.
Right. There were four vital conditions. Okay, number one is the biggie.
Right.
That's what we have to solve.
Okay, so one question I have about this is, and I think this is a question that was well put. I think Ben had raised this, and because I think about this all the time, that in several other places there are very close entrances and exits. They're right close to each other. Harris Teeter on Greensboro, and Food Line was mentioned. And I can't understand how, that's consistent with what had been. If the policies have changed, why would it not be, could we not ask for a waiver so it would be consistent with Carrboro to do it that way and have it within that 560 feet or to have the two entrances or the entrance and exit?
What is really, can somebody speak intelligently to this question of what is really the issue with the notion of two driveways on Jones Ferry Road? I mean, I understand the first blush answer was no, but from DOT, but why is the answer no? Come up and address that point.
Yeah.
She's
Adina, actually, can would you be interested in addressing that question? What was what specifically was DOT's reaction to the idea of two driveways on Jones Ferry Road, and what were their issues about that? Or somebody from planning staff, in any case.
I'm the one that spoke with Chuck, so
Here
I am.
All right.
Unfortunately, I don't have much to report. It was a quick phone conversation wherein Chuck essentially stated that it wouldn't meet the DOT standards regarding separation between the points of intersecting with Jones Ferry Road, and I'm not trying to.
Let me get to this real clear. Is the issue the distance between the two driveways, or is the issue the distance between the driveway and Barnes Street?
Both.
Both.
Correct. And Adina may have something to add. I was hoping to receive something in writing from Chuck between then and now that I could share with you, but I don't have that yet.
Okay.
And so there's no such thing as waivers on these if the municipalities
make
the
request? It's an issue of at some level of it's a DOT road, so if you want to put a driveway on it, you have to have a permit from them. So
the guidance that I was using was the DOT policy on street and driveway access to North Carolina highways. And, you know, just taking it right from here, it says that on state-maintained routes, the minimum distance between the center lines of full-movement driveways, which I believe is what was being proposed, into developments that generate high traffic volumes should be at least 600 feet. So that's where that's coming from as far as a distance that we're using as a guideline.
Right.
So the 600 is to the letter, not to the at least.
I guess my next question is, are there any exceptions or waivers? You know, we always have a general rule, and then
for this case, I wouldn't suggest or recommend a driveway anywhere between the proposed driveway and Barnes Street as it, given the grade on Jones Ferry Road, plus the separation, would not be appropriate. Even though I know existing conditions at other locations are less, DOT doesn't typically use that as an excuse to repeat wrongs for access to other developments.
What's that likely to do to cases to be made for a traffic signal there as well if you have another driveway?
It would be too many movements and too short of a distance. It'd make the situation unsafe.
Can you, while you're up there, can you speak a little bit about the rejection of the idea of not having the Barnes Street entrance at all, and just why a single entrance is not adequate for this? And I know we saw the letter from Harris Teeter that they'd had problems with that before, but do you know what those problems are?
Well, for retail developments, you'd like to have two points of ingress, egress, just as a general rule, for emergency access, for one reason. Another reason would be to serve the folks that live on Barnes Street, to not have to force them out onto Jones Ferry Road and back to just get to the site themselves if they choose to drive to the site.
In terms of the emergency, I mean, that can be addressed through an emergency only entry point or exit point. If those are the concerns, then I think that possibly could be addressed because we can ask the residents assembled here whether they'd mind driving around the corner to keep that traffic off their street. I don't think we need to. I think we know what their answer would be.
For the operation of the development itself, it would benefit it to have a second point of ingress egress just for operations.
Well, let me just ask a point of question of comparison. I know there is a second entrance at Carver Plaza, but it is not a primary entrance. Virtually all of the movements come through the primary entrance there. Does anybody
roughly off the top of their heads what the square footage of Carver Plaza is? Anybody got just a rough notion? This is for point of comparison with this to try to figure out, you know, what kind of volumes we're talking about. Sorry, it's kind of...
Okay.
And it, as a functional matter, it makes do with a single entrance.
Well, they actually have four entrances. I mean, there is a main entrance, but there's the one by the ABC store, and there are actually two in back.
The ABC store is just an out. Yeah, you're right.
No, but there's it's just an out here, the state employees.
Yeah.
You have to go all the way up the road.
And then there's one.
It's just a rough guess.
I'm making a note.
I think we need to hear from our attorney.
Yeah. Just 2 points. First of all, if you can have all series of questions, you really need to reopen the public hearing. But secondly, on this particular issue, the proposed change of creating another driveway would require, I just checked with James Thomas, would clearly require a whole resubmission. It's not something that you could just do this evening because that proposed exit goes right through the center of their buildings. So that would require a complete redesign of the project, which would require new stormwater calculations and the whole deal. In other words, it can't happen within the time frame of their deadline. So, I mean, that's really not an option that's okay. Practically open to the board to right. Do that. I mean, because you've already, in order to do that, you'd have to... It would require the kind of process that you've already heard the applicants say they don't have the time to do. So,
but if we made the Barn Street entrance emergency only, I assume that would not require a new process because it's still the same design.
I think that sort of condition is one that could be done within the context of the ordinance because there's already a now again what that does to the project is another issue. But in terms of you have a plan before you that has an entrance and to as a condition to say that would be an entrance only, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the kind of condition that could be imposed without wholesale redrawing the plans. I mean, that's consistent with that doesn't have the same concern that I just raised.
Or emergency only, isn't that what you said?
Well, either way, I think either way is an even entrance only, I think, is a big improvement because you're not getting the traffic backed up onto Barn Street going out. I think that's what some of the neighbors were speaking to.
Okay.
And Mark, is that what you're looking for, a condition of that nature that would speak to the board's concerns
and
whether or not the applicant agrees to it? Or?
That's the type of question that we need to explore at this
right.
point.
I could, you know, my big issue is Barn Street. And if we have all the other things that the advisory board's recommended, if there is no entrance or exit, only emergency on Barn Street, I could support it. If it's only emergency and that's designed to only be for emergency.
I'm sorry. Could Mike please repeat the type of condition that we could impose with regards to the ingress and egress?
Got to take that up as a policy matter.
Well, there are two issues with respect to that. I mean, the issue that I was responding to is the question of whether or not a condition can be imposed that would, in essence, require a wholesale modification of the permit. And the answer mm-hmm. to that, in the context of this application, is clearly no, because
right.
in order to do that would require time that the applicants already said they don't have. I mean, the ordinance provides that, you know, if modifications are so extensive the board can't really perceive the nature and impact without revised plans, then it requires new plans. And,
right.
and clearly the first suggestion would wipe out a whole series of buildings. It would be a new plan, in other words.
Right.
I was responding to that. The responding to the second one could be more general. You know, you can impose reasonable conditions. Now, you know, exactly what constitutes a reasonable condition is always subject to this marvelous debate. But in terms of I guess the levels there, whether imposing an ingress only or an egress only, the board has done that before with other sorts of projects, or even emergency access. You know, you've done that as well. In the context of You know, I will say that, you know, generally speaking, you cannot deny all access to a street. From a person, a property owner has a property right to have access to the street, but not necessarily the kind of access that they want, and not necessarily access in the context of the development with this kind of traffic impact. So, you know, what constitutes a reasonable condition in that regard? Obviously, it's less onerous to say one way as opposed to no access or emergency access only. But what would constitute reasonable, you know, I don't know. That's, I mean, you make that judgment first and I'll defend it.
The old Potter Stewart method. I know it when I see it.
I know when the judge tells me.
I mean, of the items that are within our control, obviously the issue dealing with the traffic signal in DOT, that's just going to be a matter that, you know, we're going to have to work, that we would have to work through, and we would have to take the initiative to accomplish that. But that one, I mean, I think Dan's recommendation seems to be a workable solution to that issue in dealing with the neighbor's primary concerns with that particular issue.
And that would be either
that would be the traffic
egress only or
emergency only.
I
think is
emergency only
is what was said, and we've done it before.
Let me just clarify. We've closed the public hearing, and so we've received, unless we want to reopen the public hearing, we've received all the comment from the public that we really.
Just the course. I want to know what's going to stop them from changing that exit, emergency entrance, when they feel like when that board get a new board, they can change it, then open it up, and then they got to open.
Okay. I understand your
question. There could be a house on this street, and there could be an office building all the way up. We ain't got no exit.
Okay. Well, I understand your question. Perhaps, I'll ask the same question. So, if there were a condition on the permit that required that it be used for emergency access only, how would we?
We can require how would, that bollards,
how would be able to,
bollards be placed, physical barriers.
Yeah, yes. I mean, the board has, on past occasions, has done that with various physical devices that allow emergency vehicle access but do not allow regular access, just as you've done one way or in or one way out in various places, including Wendy's, as I recall. And with respect to the issue, can that ever be changed? The answer is always, of course, it can. I mean, a future applicant could come back and ask a future board to change the condition, just like.
Well, but can they just change it?
No,
change
not unilaterally. Anything that would be would require a request and approval by the board. But I mean, that's always true of any site plan.
So if they tried to remove the bollards, we would have the inspections department go down there and say, "No, you
that's
can't
correct.
Do that." And
we're that's correct. That would be a violation of the permit. They couldn't unilaterally do it.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been waiting to hear all the different opinions before I make up my mind on this, and because I don't think it's fair for the applicants or for the citizens of Carrboro for us to jump and make a statement without considering, you know, all sides of the coins. And also, I have been listening, and I did not hear from the neighborhood that we 100% don't want any of this. I did hear sort of, well, there is, I mean, I think we all recognize this as an opportunity for something good to be developed there. And there's some major safety concerns to pedestrians. Sidewalks being one of them. And I think there's something that, regardless of what happened there, should be done, but something we can do about it. There is the issue of DOT, which nobody has control over it. And as Jackie pointed out, on the environment, it took more than 10 years to just get a traffic light on Lloyd Street. We might get this one instead of 10, maybe 5, right? Maybe, or I do know that would be, I would, General Assembly delegation, we might be able to put some political pressure and get what we need. I think that that benefits to this project for the community, for Carrboro. And there are pressures that, I mean, there's no way you can get all the good stuff without paying a price. It's going to be, whatever you develop there, it's going to have a negative impact. But also, the hope is that the economic benefit of it will outset the negative impact. I would like to hear from the app. I mean, I think the votes to kill the project are here, but I mean, we'll kill a whole bunch of other opportunities that we don't know what could have been done there. And that possibility of the emergency driveway, is that something that, I mean, I didn't hear the developer. I mean, I would like to hear it. I for what I heard before is that that wasn't an option, that your client, whatever, will need those ingress, egress access. So otherwise, I think we just killing more time here. It's something that we know is going to be the final outcome.
I don't think the applicant team knows the answer to that tonight. I think a full service, two full service intersections are desirable. Anything less than that is less desirable. Whether the main tenant would change their opinion and agree if it was, say, one way in or if there was emergency only, I don't think we know that tonight, so we can't help you with that. We may have no project with where you're going, but anything, the closer you can get to full service two intersections, the better chance we have of making this work. You might consider a right-in, right-out at that Barn Street intersection, or ingress only, which was suggested by the Transportation Board and I think the Environmental Board earlier. Those are certainly better than emergency only because they provide some relief to the traffic and some relief to the neighbors that want to use this development. I wish I could tell you more tonight, but I cannot.
Here's something, you know, we don't always do it, and I understand John's concern. I guess the question is, yet another crazy idea is, the applicant has until October 1st. I know that the town manager and the town attorney are probably going to want to shoot me.
John's cock.
Remember, I'm the mother of small children. That while it would be an inconvenience to us, if the applicant wants the opportunity to determine if the board can come to some consensus about what type of, because the issue is number one, the vehicular access from Barn Street, whether the tenor of the board is if it was only emergency or if it was only ingress, or, you know, what effect that would be and whether the major tenant would accept that. And if we could find that answer,
And then have a special meeting later this week in which to consider the permit application. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
I would feel that I cannot compromise beyond emergency only.
Okay.
Okay. But that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, that's why I'm...
That's right. Why I brought it up.
Alex and then Dan.
I mean, I think this is more... This is sort of a strategic point, that if we arrive at a conclusion that this is what we're going to accept, and that these are the conditions, and you can take your permit, and then you just got to take your chances with your main tenant. I mean, frankly, it sounds like the main tenant's going to try to push them and push us as hard as they can. And if we leave them wiggle room, then...
They're going to wiggle.
Then they're going to wiggle.
Right, which is...
Well, maybe I missed something there.
No, I mean, if there's a consensus on the board that we only approve this development if there's an emergency interest with Ballard, then we need to say that and say right. It to the applicant and then ask the applicant, do you want 48 hours to talk to the major tenant? Because that's what it would be.
Well, but if that's the only option that the board's interested in hearing about, then, or you know, interested in potentially issuing a permit for, then that we can issue that permit with that condition, and they can either close on the property or not. You know,
that's true.
Which is effectively the same.
I'm just saying, if that's the only thing that we, the majority, can agree on.
Right.
I'd be interested in reopening the public hearing for the purpose of hearing from Lindsay, if she's willing to speak to the question of ingress only and how the neighborhood would feel about that, as that was something that would be presumably more attractive to the developer. And, you know, would that meet and was recommended by two advisory boards?
And I agree with Dan, because I think last week that was offered as a possibility. So I'd be interested in hearing a little bit more dialogue from...
But
I don't know whether you're putting her on the.
It doesn't have to be any particular person, but just the community on, you know, that if that was a condition they would be comfortable with us pursuing, because.
Well, they're all caucusing while we're talking. Yeah. I can see
caucusing.
Someone will be ready to come in.
So I would move to open public hearing to continue that discussion.
Second. I this is really dangerous. I mean, we're going to treat everybody the same. I mean, we change our policy. I mean, we need to be fair to all applicants.
Okay.
I mean, this is a matter of policy. It's okay. I mean, you were making the case. We're not going to make process apply.
Right.
So we either do it for everyone, which I would be okay in supporting.
Right.
So from now on.
Motion
opening and closing public hearing is just because
as a process matter, I agree, we're either opening it completely or not.
As a process matter, I understand the idea behind it, but as a process matter, if we reopen the public hearing, given the way that we've conducted it thus far, if we're going to be consistent, then everybody gets another bite at the apple.
Right.
And we just can't do it.
Well, then I won't do that.
I'm sorry.
Well. I guess I'm just going to,
But there is a motion and a second. Is it withdrawn, or are you sticking with it?
No, I'm not going to withdraw it because I feel that we need that to move forward.
Then all those in favor of reopening the public hearing, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
The matter passes 4-3. I'll recognize hopefully only a couple of people, but whoever, Mr. Dow, and since I gave him a hard time earlier, I'd be glad to hear from this gentleman if he wants to speak.
To answer the matter of ingress only as an option, it was, I believe, originally proposed by the Transportation Advisory Board. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep.
And we were informed at last week's meeting that it had been rejected as an option by the major tenant, and that was in writing, and it was entered into the record. So I'm afraid, speak for the rest of the neighborhood. I think we've explained to you our concerns, which are that we cannot make that junction safe without the assurance of a traffic light. We can't get an assurance of a traffic light before we approve the before you approve the permit. So you basically seem to be stuck between a rock and a hard place because the order is wrong. Because you're going to build, you know, if you issue the permit and you even with an undertaking that you ask DOT again and again, there seems to be no strong indication, even if there's slight hope, that that they will approve it. And so, you know, the condition could be that 5 years down the road, we have a very unsafe junction, and all of these concerns have not been addressed, and you know, all that commercial traffic is still entering Barnes Street at that junction. So I think while it's better than nothing, it's not really what most of the neighbors are looking for.
What about the emergency only?
I don't think there's, I mean, we could survey, but I don't believe there would be opposition to the concept of an emergency only access. I think the basic problem as perceived by most of the neighbors with this development is it's simply too large and it's too much traffic for that area, and you can't get the assurances you need to make that area safe. And we're already dealing with a high transit area with poor sight lines, and you know, eventually the entrance is sort of a moot point, because if you've got 5,000 extra cars or even half that going across that junction every day, even if they're only going up to a junction from Jones Ferry and you've got no traffic light, that means turning left out of that junction becomes nearly impossible. So you've only got the option to turn right, go into town, and then you're stuck in traffic again. So there's basically, there's just not an acceptable situation here without the assurance of some sort of traffic signalization or roundabout or some sort of thing that makes that road a priority. And so, yes, an emergency entrance would be better than nothing, but I think what you've heard this evening is that this is not the project that people want here. You know, they want something better. They want something that's more carburet. You know, the applicants don't seem interested in changing their vision or the aesthetics of it, and it just speaks to a larger issue here, which is that we can't get this project done the way it really needs to be done, to be about Carver and about the residents of that area, some of whom are the longest-term residents of Carver. You cannot ignore that. And, you know, the applicant, I understand you have a working relationship with them, but there's, you know, the town people, the residents have to come first. End of story.
Excuse me. We don't have a working relationship with anybody. They are an applicant, and they're before us in a legal proceeding. So let's just get that straight right now.
I understand that, John. What I meant is
we don't talk to them outside this room.
No, but the planning department does, and I understand they've been working on it for a long time. All right, and I understand you're trying to accommodate the commercial objective here.
Point. I understand.
All right.
I understand your point, but I don't want other people to misunderstand.
No, so I've heard enough and would like to move to close the public
second.
Hearing.
Well, I eagerly wanted to recognize this gentleman here.
Okay,
who
I'll hold off that motion.
Before.
Yes,
Andrew
Johnson.
Bring it on.
Do you sell this barrel for any evidence you're about to give us the truth of best of your knowledge?
My problem with an emergency exit. You're dealing with, they got million dollars invested in this project. They're not going to walk away from it. Just for one driveway? Doesn't make sense. Even if they walk away, all the land, somebody else will come in and build. There's plenty of land that's in town. Town going to get their tax money from somebody. And everybody was talking about close the door. It was about 61 or 2. Then all of a sudden, you close it. Then everybody went the other way. Now, if the people had gotten up and left, it'd be a different story. It'd be a different story. I want him to ask one question. Why can't you put 3 exits on the Jones Ferry Road? You got 3 driveways on Jones Ferry Road. What's wrong with that? You put an emergency exit on Jones Ferry Road. A driveway is a driveway. That's simple, of course. I guess you can't know why we couldn't do it.
Maybe clarify for the gentleman.
Does anybody have a response to that?
Well, as described earlier, I guess NCDOT apparently would not approve of two entrances. Now, we did not discuss with them, you know, the idea of an emergency only, but it's my general understanding that they wouldn't approve a second, much of anything along Jones Ferry Road. It's much less a third. So I don't know if that's really answering your question or not.
Just a question.
I think you could get what you want with how much you have invested in. If y'all would consider it and go back to them and tell them you want three, that's it on Jones Ferry Road.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we close the public hearing. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passing unanimously. All right.
So I'm pretty clear from what I just heard that it's the emergency only with bollards condition is what we need to add. And
I would agree with that.
And I guess I'd be willing to stipulate that at some future point when a traffic light is installed, that we would revisit that intersection if that's any comfort to the developer. I mean, clearly there's no commitment with that, but, you know, I think, you know, conditions would potentially change at that time.
I think that would have to be strong, like, if a light is installed, then we will.
Right.
Right.
He's only saying look
only upon it. And after the installation of said traffic signal as described herein.
Well,
right.
And all that crap.
Well, we don't, I mean, it may be enough to have simply stated it just now as far as that issue is concerned.
Okay. The other one that I heard more discussion about than anything else were the recommendations by the planning board having to do with the facade treatment. Sort of, I think that fits into the larger context of concerns that people had about how it fit in with the neighborhood. And something that we have done on prior occasions is to place a condition, and it was usually with the agreement of the applicant, and the attorney can correct me if I'm wrong, that that the applicant seek the approval of either the planning board or appearance commission of facade design prior to construction plan approval.
I would just remind the board that you have under the ordinance amendment that required them to go to the planning board and get their approval. They went and got it already. I'm sorry, appearance commission. That's what the ordinance requires, and they've already been there and obtained the appearance commission's certificate. Remember that you set up where they either had to sort of subscribe to the mm-hmm. call it the Carver vernacular, or they, as an alternative, they had to go to the appearance commission. And so they've already done that.
Right.
And that's already been approved by the appearance commission. So you really don't have much choice on that one. You set up the process, and they went through it and got it.
And I want to suggest tangentially that this application may provide a good opportunity, not tonight, but for an early review of that procedure, since we clearly have a case of the appearance commission and the planning board disagreeing, and
we got to hoist our own.
About, you know, how you know are we getting where we want to with that process?
We got to hoist on our own petard by that one.
And recommendations regarding sidewalks and other safety factors. It wasn't mentioned tonight, but I know last week there were traffic calming devices also mentioned.
Oh yeah, we got an email about that.
Right, the speed tables.
So maybe James, can you refresh us what you sent us an email that there was an agreement to some traffic calming, and what exactly that agreement was?
Yes, I contacted the developer, or George from Ballantyne, this afternoon, and asked him about the possibility of installing traffic calming devices mm-hmm. along Barn Street, and he did state that the developer would be willing to do that, and that's what I forwarded to you this afternoon.
Okay. Right.
Is that in our that was connected to the driveway?
Right. Sure. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There's not going to be a driveway.
Right. Yeah.
It becomes less perfect.
Probably becomes more our responsibility.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
How far down does sidewalking go on the?
The proposal?
This, yeah.
Where does the sidewalk go to on the proposal? to the edge of their property on the south side there, along Barnes Street.
And my assumption is that were the driveway to be an emergency driveway, it would be the reformatted driveway, yes?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify that that the driveway that we're talking about is potentially an emergency-only driveway is the reformatted. Is the reformatted?
The northern or the southern?
As in, I would ask you to clarify that for us.
As in provided.
Well, that's right. I'm suggesting that it would be on the revision. Right. Thank you.
As in provided in Exhibit 1.
So, yes, the sidewalk goes to the edge of their property, the southern edge.
Okay.
Orientation, correct?
Yep.
And this driveway would move up to approximately here.
Okay.
Jackie?
I would like to maintain the original sidewalk plan along Barnes that preserves the old trees there rather than cutting the trees down to make the sidewalk straight, which is going against staff's recommendation that the trees come down from the original Barnes Street sidewalk.
Where would you put that?
In the list of conditions.
Yeah, I know. I'm just looking. Is that a modification of an existing condition?
Yeah, it's a modification of the staff.
Which one?
Which one is it?
Whichever one they had about the sidewalk.
Eight.
Okay. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think it needs to stay as it was in the applicant's original plan.
Okay.
Since we're talking about sidewalks and trees, can we keep in mind after we vote on this application to put the sidewalks for Barnes Street on the top 23? Sidewalks to be built next.
Right.
Well, or let's schedule an agenda item to look at that.
Let's get through this. And,
we have to do the applicants first.
I mean, that's an internal matter. I mean, we can say that we're going to do that. But, yeah. All right. We never quite resolved what to do about the. Well, I guess we sort of did. I guess my question for the applicant is whether they would be willing to take their facade treatments to the planning board for their review and recommendations and make...
I thought that was...
No, we can't require them to do it. I'm just asking them if they agree to do it. Because if they'll agree to do it, then we can put it in there and they can do it or not. They don't have to follow the recommendations.
While he's coming up, I would again remind you that it would still require appearance commission approval, because if they don't comply with the original requirements,
then the appearance commission's already done it.
Right. Yeah. So I think we should not.
Can we just leave it alone?
Planning board has recommended something different than the appearance commission is approving.
I was going to suggest that we stay in the venue of the appearance commission with whatever you decide, since that's the group that looks at appearance issues.
Well, we don't need to send you back for them to say yes to the same thing they already said yes to, so
right.
ain't no point in that. Okay, so I guess we're done with that.
I don't know that in the recommendations for this application whether this is something that we would seek to push at this time, but I think it's a very good example of what we have to move towards and have discussion about, which is the treatment of 100% of the stormwater coming from downtown sites and the infill or the recycling of sites and how we want to address stormwater issues. So
they're grandfathered out of our more intensive stormwater runoff regulations.
That's already addressed in new ordinance that you adopted. It's just that you exempted this the pending projects from that. So I mean, the 100% thing is it's already in our ordinance. It's just that doesn't apply to this one.
Explain to me just briefly so that the public will understand this question. What sorts of projects are exempt from that requirement?
Projects that were pending, that already have pending. I don't have the exact language here in front of me.
But give me the idea.
The gist of it was that projects that were pending at the time that the ordinance was revised, because they were in the project and had already done all their engineering calculations and all that sort of stuff, the board sort of grandfathered in those projects with respect to those changes that were made in the stormwater management control provisions of the ordinance, such that all of those projects, this one being one of several, would get approved in accordance with the ordinance requirements that then existed at the time of the change.
Because, in other words, when we made the change to the ordinance was like June.
June of this year.
So it was just a couple of months ago, and it was a question of whether we were going to sort of jerk the rug out from under people who'd been proceeding under a set of rules that were already previously in place.
That is correct.
Okay. I just want to be real clear about
back to my question, is this something that with any other application that falls in this set that have been grandfathered, will there not be discussion or expectation regarding
questions?
Well, if they're grandfathered, does that close the discussion to continue to recommend that they meet where we are now?
Well, there aren't that many of them.
Are you talking about the specific?
This particular applicant?
No, I'm saying it may be at a point where for this one we're too far in that process, but the other ones that are coming along.
June is clearly under. They're going to have to deal with.
But there are some that 100%. Are still. Exactly.
I don't know.
I think there are. I think the answer is that we could suggest to them but could not require since...
I just don't want to be having to discuss it in the 11th hour. If we're going to discuss it at some point, I just want to plan for it.
There are three or four commercial and probably three or four residential, just as approximate numbers that are grandfathered in that have not yet made it to public hearing.
But if I could add, I mean, they are moving forward with the expectation based on what the board just adopted at the end of June. So it's one thing to recommending as possible, but a requirement wouldn't be.
Okay. Well, that's another matter. All right. So are there other conditions that people wanted to address?
Well, the conditions of the advisory boards that have been agreed to, you're including those in your...
We haven't even gotten to a motion yet. I'm just saying,
are there other ones we need to...
Yeah, are there any others that we need to flag, basically, that they have not agreed to, or others that came from...
Yes, extend the pedestrian access to the distance of this?
I think that's...
Yeah,
They've agreed to that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's agreed to everything except the stormwater, the facade, and the Barn Street.
Yeah.
The stairwell on Jones Ferry.
Yeah. Okay. So hearing that there are no more, let's see if we can work our way through the show. I'll move the application is complete.
Second it. It's been moved and seconded that we find, by the way, just for those of you who are watching the audience, I think it's about a five-step process that we're going to go through here, and the first couple of steps are just kind of very procedural.
Yeah.
It's been moved and seconded that we make a finding that the application is a complete application. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
That passed unanimously.
Thanks. I'll move that the ordinance is in compliance with ordinance requirements as in two.
Second that.
All right. Been moved and seconded that the application complies with our town ordinances. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Under, so just for clarification, now we're under what we just did, consideration of proposed conditions. I'd like everybody to use attachment E1, mm-hmm. which has everything organized with the applicant's responses. Yep. That's what I use for my markup.
Okay.
So I'm moving, and it jumps around in terms of numbers, so pardon me while I do it. Mm-hmm. Moving numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is in the original section, which are the combined recommendations, and then an amended 8, that the proposed sidewalk along Barn Street be constructed as presented in the original application, and that additional street right-of-way be dedicated to the town if necessary prior to construction plan, blah, 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 blah. And then moving along, moving 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are the combined recommendations. And then under yellow.
Jackie. Mm-hmm.
You mean staff number 12?
Right.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry.
On page 3.
Yeah, the numeration of this is confusing me.
But yeah, 10, 11, and 12 are actually not advisory board recommendations. They're staff recommendations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So even with that being only an emergency usage.
That should be spelled out, though, shouldn't it? Is that where it would be spelled out?
Right, so we can modify that.
We'll come to that in just
okay.
a moment.
Or we could add another condition.
Now, Alex can either do it now or he can...
I put it in somewhere else.
But see, here it says the relocated entrance exit onto Barn Street.
Close to Jones Street, right.
I think this is where we need to exercise caution. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Alex, what is...
That's number 6, right?
That's 12.
Staff 12.
Staff 12.
Okay.
What was the other language that you had, and shall we insert it here?
Now I'm getting lost in this.
12A?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. D, attachment.
That's a dedication.
D. Will be, yeah, we can put it in two places. I just put it somewhere else, but we can put it in here as well. Would be restricted.
This is number 12.
Yeah. To emergency use only. And that appropriate bollards or other physical devices shall be erected to prevent the movement of traffic other than emergency vehicles. And then with the rest of the language as it reads.
Well, are you sure? It says, if changes to the design are necessary, then such changes are subject to an additional public hearing.
Sorry.
That, if I may clarify, that was to, if changes in schematic designs, in other words, if in relocating that they need to make any other minor, well, any other schematic adjustments, which do not appear to be the case, but if there were some other internal site plan stuff that they had to do, then it would either be regarded as either insignificant, if that's in fact what they are, minor, in which they'd come back to the
right.
board, or if they were made.
This is actually additional protection, which means that if there are changes, site design changes within that are required, that are substantially different, then they got to come back.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Otherwise, they could just shuffle stuff around and keep
that's
going.
Right.
So thank you for that clarification. Dan, is that language?
That's
right. Right. What you wanted to do? Okay. And there will be duplication later, and I'll try not to stumble over it. Okay, so we're 12. Now we're into the advisory board recommendations.
Right.
Appearance commission 1 and 2. Planning board 1. We went over 2 and just figured out we couldn't do anything about that. 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm sorry, we can't do 7.
We can't do
We've
seven,
discussed
right.
that. 8, 9.
Can I have
Sure.
If it's an emergency entrance,
or exit
is rendered moot. Good point.
Other than to say that developer takes measures to put a sign that says emergency exit only. So people will know.
We'll add appropriate signage to six. How about that? Right. Or 12, excuse me. Yeah, you're right. That's one of
six.
That's six. That's advisory.
No, but he's saying we'll just add.
We'll just add that
appropriate,
to
appropriate
staff 12. So yeah, so it's all in one shot.
So dump six.
Delete six
altogether.
Right.
Because six is rendered moot by that.
Good.
As what Joel was pointing out. So getting back, eight, nine. I think we ought to require him to do 10. That the developer provide one additional stair. I mean, it's pretty simple, and it provides additional access.
Right.
And they don't. And it's not a deal killer. So yeah.
Okay.
11, 12. Okay, those are dealt with. TAB 1, 2. That's the aforementioned traffic common that we were talking about.
Right.
3.
It's moot.
Right.
Yes.
2 is moot, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Which one?
3.
No, 3 is moot.
3 is moot.
3 is moot.
Yeah.
And 4 is moot.
We're not
moot.
And
Alex.
I'm sorry.
For clarification, on number 2 under TAB, the TAB recommended 3 humps. The applicant was agreeing to 2. We need to know which one you're referencing.
Those are contradictory. Sorry, I thought they were just
two is
duplicative. All right, where was the first one?
Well, if there's only one ingress and egress.
Yeah, I think two will do the trick.
A lot less of an issue.
All right, so we'll eliminate two, and that way we don't have two in conflict. Okay, yeah, 4, we dealt with that in the earlier language, so strike that.
Five. 6.
6, 7, 8. We don't worry about. We can talk about 10 as an internal matter. We've already discussed EAB 1 and 2. EAB 3 is in the motion. EAB 4.
It's in the TAB, I think, motion.
I'm in EAB.
Yeah, we've already addressed it under TAB.
Right.
EAB 4 is already addressed.
So you
okay,
so
yeah.
You can strike
skip that.
Four.
That's a duplication. Okay.
Right.
Scratch 4.
Yeah.
How do we do with 5?
Like
I mean, that's really pretty squishy. It just has to do with the design features in general, and the applicant says they believe that they've satisfied that. But
The University Lake Apartments has a fence all along that boundary right now, is the situation?
They do have a fence.
They want it.
I've been out there. It's a fence.
What do you want to do about it?
There's nothing. It's University Lake Apartments fence, so they can do that, I guess.
No, it's not part of the...
It's oblique language, but it's...
I don't think that fence is a good idea, and I would encourage the applicant and University Lake Apartments to reconsider that issue.
Sure. I mean, but it's oblique language, and...
Yeah, I'm not sure there's much we can do to...
Well, it looks like Bruce wants to say something about that.
I need a break.
What we've offered previously is a willingness to stub out sidewalks to any of our adjoining property lines that makes sense. I suggest you just word something that allows us to work that out with staff during the construction plan process if the project moves forward. Doesn't mean that we can go on to adjoining properties and extend sidewalks there, but we might step out in a place or two that would allow some future owner of those apartments to see things differently and want to connect on their side.
How about this?
That's what I want.
Work with staff to provide pedestrian and bicycle connectivity to surrounding neighborhoods in cooperation with neighbors.
The only caveat, I would say, is to our west, this is a creek. And so we would ask you not to put a condition that implies that you want us to do something.
That just says work with staff to provide that connectivity. Besides, you'd be violating our own rules anyway if you did that. So.
You can cross the creek up at the sidewalk.
So that's a modified number five, just and then including six. I'm sorry, Jackie?
I'd like to add one.
Okay.
During the construction process, that all of the contractors and subcontractors be made aware of our noise ordinances as they pertain to building near neighborhoods, and that the tenants of the proposed development also be made aware of the noise and sound, the noise and light and odor ordinances as they pertain to being adjacent to residential area. And they are at a higher level.
Okay, you talk faster than I could write. You got that, Sarah? Okay, that's a new seven. I would add something, and if it's in here, I just missed it, which is that all construction traffic shall be limited to access from Jones Ferry. Is that in there anywhere? Okay. Do you mind if I just add that to yours because it addresses kind of the same thing? Or do you want to do it as two separate ones, Jackie? Okay, just add that to yours. Okay.
That would be fine. But, you know, they can't start early in the morning, and they can't start early on Sundays. And
You want to set some hours?
We already have hours.
But it's a question of making sure they know what those
make sure that this is different than if you're doing it in an area that doesn't abut a neighborhood.
Okay.
In addition, because of the school traffic that starts up about the same time as construction, so they really need to be mindful of that.
Okay, so we need to put that in some language.
Well, signage for the construction vehicles.
Oh.
So the hours of operation needs to start at a time not in conflict with school.
How are you going to do that?
School bus vehicle traffic. I mean, there are children. I mean, one of the things that Elizabeth said very clearly is children waiting at streets for bus pickup.
On Barn Street.
Right.
We're not going to be construction.
We're talking about no construction traffic.
We're not going to allow construction traffic on Barn Street at all.
They
can't do it.
Okay.
I would suggest that you add that signage be placed
on
Barn Street so nobody by mistake says I missed it.
Ma'am, the time for public comment is over. I'm sorry.
Okay, and that appropriate signage be placed indicating where construction traffic may and may not go.
Right.
Okay, anything else?
Second up.
Okay, so those are the proposed conditions. I'll move the application as granted, subject to the conditions that have been agreed upon in Section 3.
And that includes emergency
yes,
access
that is,
only on Barn Street.
Yes, and that is a new number 7.
And do you want to add to that that the... that condition would be reconsidered at such time as a traffic light is obtained?
This deals with construction traffic.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the emergency access thing.
I really wouldn't support it.
No, assume that if,
that's fine.
You know, we'll just leave it be unless...
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it's going
to
be.
Right. If somebody wants to amend it, they'll make a motion.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
So that's the story.
Second there.
Okay. So the motion has been made and seconded to grant
the application subject to the conditions that have been agreed upon under Section 3, which is what we just went through.
So subject to all of that long list of conditions, which I guess the most important point to summarize from it is that there will be bollarded, a blocked emergency access only to Barn Street. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
I didn't vote.
Now's the time when you decide.
I'm going to vote.
Okay. I'll give you one more moment.
I can guess since we have emergency only, I got to vote for it.
All right. The motion passes 6-1. Do we need another motion to be done with this, Alex? We're done.
No.
No, we're done.
Okay. I would like to ask, Alderman Herrera brought it up earlier, I would like to ask the staff to bring us an agenda item in which we will look at the Barn Street sidewalk issue in relation to our sidewalk priority list. And I would also like to... with the board's permission, work with our town staff to contact the various forces at the Department of Transportation that need to be contacted about the question of a traffic light at that intersection.
Mm-hmm. And if you want those of us who have a working relationship with Doug to give him a poke, let me know when we're... Y'all coordinate that, give me a holler, and I'll be more than happy to work on that.
Maybe the conversation won't happen.
One more item that came up in the discussion is the need to have a broader discussion of the surrounding neighborhoods and kind of looking at the overall zoning and planning and also the public amenities in that area. So I'm not sure what the right process is for that.
Let me suggest that we schedule some work session time to have the board kind of look at that. That issue firsthand and discuss how we would really like to proceed on that particular.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you should invite the neighbors. I think you should invite. I don't think we should do this in.
We should have it at a
WASA.
In a vacuum.
Yep.
And I think we should have it at a WASA. Then people
like
can
work. So you don't think we should delegate it to the NASA Park Committee?
Do it they get right on it.
3 years later.
No. We need a break.
Okay. We're gonna take a 3 minute break here.
Yeah. You'll take three. I'll take.
I anticipate that we're probably not going to get to our item on our closed session tonight.
Might that be a good time to do that?
I need to tell
you.
All right, Mr. Manager, we are on agenda item number 2.
Okay, this is a public hearing on the conditional use permit request for the commercial development at 609 Highway 54 West. WLW LLC is requesting a conditional use permit for 2 commercial buildings at 609 Highway 54 West. First building is an existing one-story masonry building that is 3,200 square feet in size. The second building will be 3,000 square feet with a prefab metal-type building. It's necessary for the Board of Aldermen to hold a public hearing prior to taking action on the permit. And James Thomas has a staff presentation.
Can we ask for a condensed presentation?
Snapshot, really.
Actually, even before that, can I ask, are there people here who plan to speak on the public hearing? I don't have anybody signed up. Okay. Can we, and the applicant is here and so forth, so could anybody who might speak at the public hearing stand up and be sworn right now? I want you to raise your right hand.
Oh, they need to vote.
Or they can. It's not required by law, but come up to the.
Or they can.
Come on over to the clerk's desk real quick and just be sworn off all four of y'all real quick.
Well, we can't just do it like they do in the Senate where everybody stands up and they do it.
Solemnly swear or affirm the amateur doctor gives the truth to the best of your knowledge. Thanks.
Okay.
We should do this all the time. Everybody
right.
Wants to be sworn.
A condensed
stand.
Version.
All right.
Okay. Condensed what?
Reader's Digest.
All right. Probably many of you are aware of the property here. This is a subject property. This is where the Exxon station is. Make it really quick for you guys. This is a B5 zoning district, which is like basically it's a commercial watershed zoning district. This is the existing property.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
That beauty.
that was the one who burned out.
This is the proposed site plan.
Is that part of that vernacular we were talking about?
Yeah. This is the existing.
What appeared from
Go ahead. This is the existing.
They're uncondensing people.
This is the existing property you just saw. This is the proposed building, approximately 3,000 square feet. This is the proposed bioretention. The reason for this, and this was in your staff report, and I'll make it quick and short. Within the zoning district, if you exceed 6% impervious surface, you're required to treat that first inch of rainfall. Obviously, this does exceed that. It's approximately 19% impervious surface, but you cannot surpass 24%. And the applicant, this is why you have the installation of this bioretention facility. I can go on further on if you'd like, but that's fine.
We'll inquire as we're interested.
Proposed parking, 12 standard, 3 compact, 1 handicap. Tree protection, they obviously will be removing some trees due to the phase 2 building. Screening, they meet all the requirements. Shading, they meet all the requirements. Drainage, I just kind of went quickly over that, dealing with the impervious surface and whatnot. They do meet all those requirements. Utilities. Utilities, I included a letter of explanation from OWASA. They're not extending the main. They're actually tapping into the existing service. OWASA's fine with that. This is a proposed building, which is notated in phase 2. The applicant is working with Jack Haggerty for proposals for that. One of my conditions was prior to getting a building permit for that I go to the Appearance Commission for a courtesy review. These are the conditions. I won't read them all. If you guys have any questions, I'll be more than happy to talk about them.
Just one.
Yes.
If we, at number 2, so we grant the permit,
mm-hmm.
Well, then what kind of leverage does that give the Appearance Commission when it comes to, you know, the prefabricated building?
I guess the question is, why bother having it there?
Well, as with the Appearance Commission, I mean, you could reconfigure that recommendation to make it a little more bold.
I mean, it doesn't have any bite
right.
in it, because
right.
if they already have the permit,
mm-hmm.
and the appearance commission goes, ooh, no, then the applicant can go, so what, I got my permit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
Why waste the resources? I'm sure there'll be other developments that will come before the appearance commission that they'll want to comment on. And staff time, staffing, having them to come.
It could scarcely be worse.
I mean, it's a prefabricated building for heating and cooling supplies. It's going...
I have a feeling I know what the appearance will be.
Exactly.
But Jack's not...
Nothing personal.
Jack's not designing the prefab building.
Yes, he is.
Oh. So Jack's designing... Oh.
That's what this is showing. Well, it's a very... You know, rendering of it is pretty limited, but yes, Jack is working with
it's
the applicant
sketchy,
to design
so to speak.
That building.
He needs to go back and learn how to draw.
Does the applicant... go ahead.
Now, explain to me, this is in the watershed. It's not an extension of sewer.
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible that they are connecting into...
Rangewood.
Yes.
They're just on the laterals.
They're right adjacent to Rangewood.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
As I said, they will be... With the proposed prefabricated building in phase two, they're just going to be tapping into the service.
Right.
The existing service.
Okay. Would the applicant like to make a statement?
Not this time.
Okay. Well, you can jump up when we say something dumb. all right, so... at this point, I call on Bob Kirshner.
I'm so tired.
I'm going to be real brief here, and I see that one of my concerns was being addressed, and that was the prefab building, and that it has some. It's going to be on 54 here, which is a entranceway into Carrboro or a high traffic area, so visibility will be there, particularly recognizing the building that's currently there. So my comments is, you know, concern about the appearance of the prefab building and some sensitivity to that. With that, as I've stated before, I'm in support of commercial development within the town here. So can you gather that?
Thank you.
Okay. And that leads into the question that I wanted to ask the staff or the attorney, which is, This is in our extraterritorial jurisdiction, this property is that
yes.
Right? And it's not proposed by the staff that we require annexation of the property into town limits. So
it has been, as the staff standardly does, they've requested an applicant who seeks approval from town to voluntarily annex the property. This applicant has... denied that request, said they did not wish to be annexed, and of course the nature of voluntary annexation is that you can't voluntarily annex someone. So.
Yeah, I almost said require them to be voluntarily annexed, but that's so. I was afraid he'd jump up because that's dumb.
We've typically made that request, and most folks have acceded to that request. This applicant has chosen not to, which is their prerogative.
Well,
doesn't mean they won't be annexed, but they won't be annexed through a voluntary process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going down the hill, and it's about a mile. Now, you know my ability to gauge how long things are.
It's a good distance from the main body of town limits.
Right.
But it's also more or less directly across the street from Cleora Sterling, is it not? Which that building happens to be an outlying parcel that is in our town.
Right.
I wanted to ask about whether or not the shading, the screening rather, type C, if that is something that's going to be help with that the screening, visual screening along 54. I didn't know if that how dense that was or how that will help with, you know, the screening on the prefab. I couldn't remember what C was like.
Fortunately, on my presentation, I didn't show the actual. Their intention is to keep the buffer here,
yeah,
existing, and then they will be. I believe it's they'll be installing approximately 4 to 6 trees along Highway 54 in order to meet the Type C screen, which is a.
Well, can it be a condition that they maintain that it's the buffer trees?
Well,
the buffer that you were.
As you can see.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that piece of property.
Yes.
When I go visit my father, I take 54 and I've driven past it probably 100 times or more.
So go ahead, James. So where along that? That's what I'm not clear about.
Right.
There will be an installation of trees along this frontage. And then where the actual future building will be.
Yeah, that's.
It will remain a natural buffer.
So they're putting the new building behind those trees.
Right.
Yep. This is right here. This is the proposed building.
Right. So that's screened now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the old building will be removed.
No.
No. It's going to be.
It's going to be renovated. Their intention is to renovate.
Renovate.
Right.
Which.
Okay.
I think there's a positive in that because they're reusing.
Too. Yeah, I agree.
Well, you don't like its character?
Well, it leaves something to be desired as you.
It's ready for adaptive reuse. I'm sorry,
thank
my
you.
Humor is deteriorating quickly. I'll shut up. I just have a clarifying. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, just a clarifying. I guess it's not a question, but, well, yeah, it is a question. But regardless of the outcome of this permit application, since the applicant has chosen not to request voluntary annexation, at any time in the future, should the town decide it is in the public interest to begin an involuntary annexation proceeding, it may do so. Correct?
If it meets the, I hate to use the term.
I mean, obviously, if it meets the statutory
criteria.
Yeah.
Criteria,
right.
Which, and I just. Of course, kind of good. I mean, it wouldn't be this particular property. It would be.
It would have to be a whole area.
It would be an
yeah,
area that would have to meet it. And
I guess my concern about that interpretation, Alex, is that you know the area is in the watershed, and it's not you know it's mostly not likely to be for the most part not going to be developed a whole lot more than it is now, and. I don't want to be argumentative about the point, but this is a great local business, and I look forward to them building a building out there. But I wish it weren't out there. I wish it were in the town of Carrboro, and I think it's. It would put me in a lot better mood, particularly at 10:30 at night, in interpreting how to issue what to do with this application to know that it was going to be a part of the town of Carrboro, and that I feel like they're in a place where they're going to be availing themselves of a lot of resources that the efforts of the town of Carrboro have helped to create, and I just think it's. Kind of crappy not to come in and be a part of our town limits when they're right now really seriously developing this parcel.
I understand that, but where would it go? In town, you know, if you're going to stay there.
No, I'm not saying do it on a different site. I'm
right.
saying I want this site to be in our
okay.
town limits.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm just asking.
You know,
I actually think location-wise, in relation to where it is in relation to our central business district, it makes sense. It's
okay.
an appropriate location for this type of for mm-hmm. you know, it's basically a sort of small warehouse type use.
Right.
And the edge of town does make sense
right.
for that.
Right.
And a major transportation corridor
yeah.
makes sense.
I mean, I raised that not to argue with you, but in fact. coming from that same perspective of some disappointment. And by asking that clarifying question, I'm trying to communicate that maybe Bud shouldn't be surprised if sometime down the line that parcel becomes a part of a parcel that becomes the town of Carver.
Well, yeah. And at least now you get a 20-year warning. Right. So you can't say that you didn't know that we were planning to do it. No, it's true, because, you know, that's what the issue was with regards to other parts of town. So
they
I'll agree with that.
So they said. All right.
Joking. So.
Would the applicant care to address the question of the annexation of the property?
In all honesty, I don't think you'd want to hear what I have to say.
There you go. I think you said it.
But briefly, I applied 10 years ago to be part of the town of Carver over on Lloyd Street. And it was a different board and a different time. And I desperately wanted to be in the town of Carborough at that point in time. And it didn't work out. So I'm trying it again in a different location.
Yeah,
and I have no qualms about being annexed. I don't really know what that means. But I don't think it would matter.
Well, obviously,
it's interesting the way you put that across, that a business like mine should have been in Carborough. Well,
we missed that opportunity. I know that. I'm aware of that. But I guess what I'm saying is I think regardless of how appropriate the result was or not 10 years ago, that this is a good application, that this is a very logical place for this type of business, and I'm sure it'll be a good project.
I think we could clean that site up very nicely mm-hmm. and make for a nice entrance. I've got high hopes that that when people come by, it'll be, you know, a plus for Carville. I'm hoping.
Okay, let's
close the public hearing.
Yeah. Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we close the public hearing. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
All right, not too much to do here. Move staff recommendations 1-4 with, and there was some discussion about the point at which the appearance commission would review it. We
have sequence.
No, we're going through them as a straw thing here.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That's probably the only one we need to discuss in any detail, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think because it has no teeth in it.
We shouldn't do it.
We shouldn't do it because you can't grant a permit and then.
What I was about to say is we often ask them to go before the appearance commission prior to construction plan approval. As opposed to building permits.
I'm just not willing to waste time for that.
Okay, so we'll scratch it all together. Fine.
So all right. 1-4.
So make
no, we're going 1, 3, and 4.
Make
so
a motion.
Everybody hit to that. Wait a minute. Let's hit the advisory board ones and just take them as a shot.
Oh, okay.
A planning board. I think that's dealt with in asking them to go before the. We're not asking them to do that. Jack's doing it. I don't think we can specify the materials. How about cut off lighting fixtures? That's not a big deal. It's easy to do. And
there are neighbors.
Add planning board 2, which is a duplicate of EAB 1. Right. What does EAB 2 mean? Applicant specify the maintenance provider. Oh, okay. Is that typical? Like who's going to maintain it? Typically, the property owner does it, or they hire individual contractors.
We usually have some sort of condition related to maintenance, but not that they provide the specific provider, because that would obviously
I don't think that'll
change over time.
Yeah, I'm not sure fully understand what they meant by that, but it's clear to I just spoke with Will on the way up here, town engineer, and it's clear to us that the property owner would be responsible.
Right.
So Mike, you said that there's typically a condition that relates to the provision of maintenance without necessarily naming the provider, but I don't see that here.
I don't see that either. Haven't we typically done that? I'm just recalling other permits.
It's kind of a different issue when you're looking at a subdivision or a, you know, homeowners association right. situation where somebody needs to clearly be, I mean, in this case, the Matthews family will be.
Yeah, there's a functional matter I don't particularly care, but if it's boilerplate that is in our standard structure and we usually require it, but we're not this time, then we'll end up having to argue about it every damn time. And I'm not interested in that.
Why don't you put it in, because they will tell you who it is going to be. It's right. going to be them.
I think it's,
okay.
I think the reason it's important is because it's in the watershed.
That's fine.
It's part of that protection.
Okay. So then we'll add two. Okay. So everybody hip to that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Move the application is complete.
Second.
Let me just add, it was just pointed out to me that the plans have a bioretention area maintenance schedule, so all the maintenance requirements are already there. Obviously, they don't, and the developer who will be the owner will have to do that. So I guess that's the sort of the substitution for the condition that we would otherwise normally have. They put it on the plans.
Right, so it was already in there.
All right, so we're scratching EAB2 as being taken care of in the original application. All right, moving on to 2, move the application is in compliance with the ordinance requirements.
Second.
We didn't vote on 1.
No.
Then moved and seconded that it's complete.
Yeah.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, manifesting unanimously.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded that it complies with the ordinance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, manifesting unanimously.
All right. Move that the application is granted subject to the conditions we just agreed on.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that we grant it with those conditions. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, manifesting unanimously. Before we go, that's it for that, right?
Yeah.
Before we go, board members, I want to raise up a closely related issue to this last development application. I spoke just today with Ridge Cook, who many of you may know, used to work for the Land Trust, and he owns the Furniture Follies business out on 54 in White Cross. And apparently he is interested in exploring the possibility of moving his business to where the Cleora Sterling building is right now, which is how I happen to know that it's in town limits. But apparently our zoning ordinance does not allow. Well, I didn't necessarily 100% understand it, but it sounds like our zoning ordinance is not very compatible with operating that type of business there. And he's not looking to build a building or to build a parking lot. He's looking to use existing facilities. And it just seemed to me that having Furniture Follies move into our town limits would be just the kind of thing that we have been talking about from an economic development standpoint. And I would, unless there's something I really don't understand about the situation, I really feel like we ought to take as quick of steps as we can to look at whatever kind of ordinance changes would be needed in order to support that happening.
And we could just have them submit a request for a real.
I was just told this morning they did that last Thursday. Is that correct? We have a text amendment application that was just filed. I was just told that.
Okay. I guess my point is, I it doesn't seem like an elaborate question, and I would really like to see it come before this board as soon as we can make that happen.
I just have one question. If we change the text amendment, is it just for that piece of property, or is it for an area of property?
Well, I think it has to do with what's allowed in that zoning district, which is.
Yes, so it would be text amendment, so it would be applicable to any in that district, but obviously that district is not huge.
There's only like 5 or 6 properties in that district.
Right, but and what's the acreage? I mean, it's in the watershed, so I'm going to look somewhere. At it. I'm just going to tell you, not that I'm opposed to Furniture Follies, but I'm going to look at it very closely.
That's fair enough.
Well, and Mark, you were saying that the language used to describe how that the building was going to be just reused. I mean, how did you...
It's not a construction project.
Well,
we just want a permit to operate in that
building. Wait till we see what they put before us, before we
sort of say, well, we'd like to come to it quickly, but we need to see what effect that has on the water.
Right, exactly. What kind of use it is.
And, you know.
But it's a great question to bring forth.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't, I agree with that, and we do need to look at how it affects all the different properties that are in the watershed. But that type of business is a retail business. It would help to build our sales tax base, and it seems like kind of thing, again, similar to what the Matthews family is doing, like a kind of business that being along with Highway 54 is a logical place for.
I agree with that because I think we're too tired to do it with any great accuracy, okay. Unless you really want to.
No, this is an important item I think that needs to be given. I mean, just in fairness.
Yeah.
And I'm not prepared to do that now.
Well, what does...
Is there a motion? What is the motion?
There's a pending motion to adjourn. There has been no second. I guess the question is, when are we going to do it?
Well, we have our manager has a quizzical look on his face.
It's just the schedule doesn't get better. That's my only concern. But I don't want to keep anybody here longer than you want to be. Trust me.
And I hate to recommend this, but can we come early and do it? I mean, we always do it after a meeting or late. I mean, we never really have one meeting where, and I'm just as grumpy as anybody at the end.
Yeah, why can't we do it at 7?
7 or 6:30.
I mean, it depends on if staff is comfortable with that because
staff
it's
meetings.
Only one. We only ask. We do it in closed session.
Okay.
Only one.
Next Tuesday.
Steve, are you up to that? And I'll even.
All right. It depends on. Yeah.
It's totally up to you all. That's fine.
Let's do it at like 6:45. We don't want to shortchange ourselves on time.
I like that idea.
I don't want to miss dinner. 6:45.
I'm not going to be anyway.
Okay. Next week. 6:45.
Is there a motion for that?
You can give this.
So moved.
Okay. All right. So moved and seconded that we will begin our next meeting with the. At 6:45 next time, and the intention of going into closed session for
personnel matter.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, let me make a suggestion that you just adjourn this meeting to 6:45 and then start your regular meeting at 7:30. That way we don't have to re-advertise.
We'll do that.
So there's a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Continue or whatever the appropriate
meeting. Continue this meeting until 6:45.
Recess, that's the word.
Recess.
6:45 next Tuesday.
It sure does.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Those opposed.
Oh, okay. In my hand. Now they.